Okay, good morning, Robosai. Says the Gemara, on Daf Chav Tes Siman Aleph, Yardu B'Shamim, Tana Misha Tisrach HaMikba Shel Grisin. That what is Misha Tisrach HaMikba? What's the shear? It seems pretty clear that it doesn't mean you're actually eating this Mikba Shel Grisin, but it just means that's the objective shear. This mikvah, mushy food of some sort. But porridge, good. Porridge of greasin of a certain kind of beans. What's unique about a mikvah shel greasin? So here's a bit of a machlokas. Rashi says here, and most Rishonin, the Ritva, the Rambam, the Pirush Mishnayos, say that it's a kula. This is the most delicate kind of porridge. It gets ruined with only a little rain. So we're being makel. Basically, if it rains enough to ruin a very delicate dish, even if you're eating a sturdier dish, you are still potter. The Me'iri quotes Yesh Omrim, where I think the footnotes point out, this Yesh Omrim is a Rebbeinu Peretz quoted in the Kolbo in the Orchas Chaim, in Hilchos Sukkah, quotes Yesh Omrim the opposite, that no, it's a chumrah. That Mikvah Shel Grisin is the sturdiest porridge. A lot of other porridges will get ruined, but this one won't. And it's a chumrah. It's saying, if there's a little rain you can't leave, not unless it's enough to ruin a Mikvah Shel Grisin. The Yerushalmi, is complicated. It sounds like it's agreeing b'mtzias with the Yesh Omrim, but b'din with Rashi. It sounds like Mikvah Shel Grisin is a real tough, sturdy one. But you're potter from sukkah as long as it rains enough to ruin a delicate porridge. Okay, but without getting into details, Lemaisa, the Rashi says the kula, it's the most delicate porridge, and the Yesh Omrim, the Me'iri, says it's a chumrah, it's the sturdiest porridge. One of the things that we wonder about is, why do we need a shear at all? Whether it's a kula or a chumrah, why do we need a shear here at all? Why not just say, when you're mitzayir? Right? Lechora, the Torah of Gesham is because you're mitzayir. So why not just say, well, whenever you're mitzayir, matter of fact, that's what some of the Echronim say. Some of the poskim say, what if we don't eat mikvah shel grisin, what should we do? Well, you just estimate, if you would leave your house for this much rain, if it leaked into your house this much, then you should leave your sukkah. So why does the Gemara need an objective shear is a question that we will come back to in a moment. Let's just read on a little more. Abayim ka yosef kame de Rav Yosef in Talalta, noshav zika v'kamaisi tzivusa. Abayim sitting in front of Rav Yosef, and the wind blew, and it blew little twigs, little tiny twigs, mestamer from the schach. On to him. Amar Rav Yosef, panali mani mihacha, take my kalim out of here. Amar lo yabai v'atam yishitizcha mikvah. Doesn't it say you can only leave if the weather's bad enough that it ruins the porridge, and this weather's not bad enough? Amar lo yididi, kevin dani yidatai, kemo shitizcha mikvah, damili. Since I am exceedingly sensitive, this is as bad for me as mishitizcha mikvah. Tana rabbanan. Ha yo'ocha b'sokav yardu b'shamim v'yarad. If you're in the middle of eating the sukkah and it rains, so you went to your house, you don't have to go back to the sukkah in the middle of the meal. You could finish your meal in the house. Why? Assumption is because it's a mitzvah to have to uproot yourself in the middle of the meal. For me, I can read Achi Yeger since I'm Ashkenazic and have no problem. If you're sleeping in the sukkah and it rains, you went inside, then you don't have to move in the middle of the night until Yeor. Ibaylu ad sheyeor or ad sheyeor. Right? Until he awakens or until it gets light outside.
Does this mean that the...
They were Ashkenazim in the time of Shas?
Yeah, I mean, what does that mean?
Well, in the Gemara it says in Maseches Sota, it says you're not allowed to pronounce Alephs like Ayins and Ayins like Alephs. And it says there are some people who do that. So it seems that in the time of the Gemara, there were some people who pronounced Aleph like Ayin and Ayin like Aleph, and that's how it could get confused, but it was considered improper. So were there always people who spoke like you and me? Yes. The only difference is now we consider it Elu ve'Elu and a proper option. In the days of the Gemara, they considered it something improper, and it was not considered a valid option. But people did it, and obviously there were people who were a little too close for comfort, and that's how they got confused about this. So what is it? Does it mean when you wake up, or does it mean when it gets light outside? Meaning, let's say you wake up at 2 in the morning. Do you have to move to the sukkah? Or no, you can stay in the house all night. Do we say, once you wake up, move to the sukkah? Or do we say, no, it's a bit starry there, 2 a.m, you should have to move beds. Rather, you can stay in the house all night. Tashma, ad sheyeor v'yale amud ha-shachar. It says, ad sheyeor v'yale amud ha-shachar, until it gets light and the dawn rises, tarti, which Rashi says is a contradiction. Light means it sounds like you have to have a lot of light. And Amun HaShachar means just the dawn. Elayim sheyei or v'yal Amun HaShachar, till you wake up and it is, till you wake up and it is dawn. So here we just have Machlokas and Girsa. Our Girsa is very, very clear what the Maskana is. However, there are two Girsos floating around the Rishonim as to what the Maskana is. I don't have a lot of lundus to say about this, but we should point out, even in the Rif, we're not sure what the Gir says. We're not sure what the Gir says in the Gemara. We're not sure what the Gir says in the Rif, because it's printed in our Rif with an ayin. And then all of a sudden, the Balamor starts saying, well, in the Rif it says with an aleph. So apparently, we're not sure what it says in the Gemara. We're not sure what it says in the Rif, but we are sure of some people's opinions. So here we have Yeor is the Girsa of Rashi. And the Balamor. Right, the Balamor says for sure the right Girsa is. Yeor, and it's also the Girsa of the Rush. And Yeor is the Girsa of, that's how the Balamor quotes the Rif. We're not sure the right one. The Rach, Rav Chanan on the side has Yeor, and the Melchama says Yeor. And the and the Ritva has Yeor, everyone quotes from a lot of Gaonim Yeor, so Rach and the Mochamos and the Ritva and others have Yeor, and it might be that's the best Yeor in the Rif. That's how it's printed in our Rif, but that's what most people seem to say. And the Ra'ah and many others have Yeor. What's the difference? If it means Yeor and of course, who else has Yeor, very importantly?
Rambam.
The Rambam, right? The Rambam doesn't quote the Gemara, the Ra'ah. The Rambam says nothing about waking up. So the question is just, what does this mean? Is there enough gemina between these two opinions or not? So here, we're not sure if there's enough gemina between these two opinions or not. Everyone who I've seen says, we're talking about the same time. We're talking about dawn. Amud HaShachar, we're talking about dawn. Whether it's Yeor V'yala Amud HaShachar or Yeor V'yala Amud HaShachar, either way, one means you wake up and it's after dawn. The other one means it's light. And how light? After dawn. So everyone seems to agree it means dawn. What's the machlokas? The question is, what if you are still sleeping at dawn, right? According to the Girsa of the Rashi, very, very clearly, no, until it's dawn and you wake up. If you wake up in the middle of the night, you don't have to go. If it's dawn and you're still asleep, you don't have to go. Why should you wake up in the middle of the night? How about the other Girsa? That just says dawn is enough. Does that mean you have to wake up and go to the sukkah? So even that is unclear. It doesn't say you wake up, but it might be obvious. It might be an unstated tonight. And here, the Ritva and the Ra'ah and the run at first, okay, the Ritva and the Ra'ah say clearly, the Ritva and the Ra'ah also say Pater, meaning they say there's no real difference between these two yourselves. The difference is what the Gemara says, but it means the same thing. Why? Because it's, you don't have to say that you're not chayiv until you wake up. It's obvious that you're not chayiv if you don't wake up. Why is it obvious? Right, Potter? It's obvious you're Potter. Why is it obvious you're Potter? Because it's just like the case of in the middle of a meal. In the middle of eating, you don't have to leave in the middle of your meal. So likewise, in the middle of sleeping, you don't have to leave in the middle of the night because it's just like the middle of a meal, just like while you're eating, you don't have to move back, even though it's no special time. While you're sleeping, you don't have to move back. So they say both yourselves mean the exact same thing. However, the Rambam really doesn't sound that way. The Rambam says, do I have the Rambam? Yes. The Rambam really doesn't sound that way. The Rambam sounds. Right. The Rambam says, we don't bother him to go back to the sukkah, kol salayla, the whole night. Implies that in the morning we do bother him. We let him sleep at home till dawn. It really sounds like when dawn comes up, we wake him up and make him move to the sukkah. So the Rambam sounds like, no, he's chayev. We wake him up forcibly at dawn and make him move to the sukkah. The Ran says, why would that be? In the middle of the meal, we don't make you move. Why should we make you move in the middle of the night? So the Ran just says that, explains the Ran. The Ran gives both possibilities. That's why I'm not putting him on either side. Right? The Ran says, what's the svara for the Rambam? He says, because a meal, a suda, has no objective end. So as long as you're eating, you're in the middle of the suda, but no objective terminus. But Shena, objectively, ends at dawn, because after all, a suda, who says how long a meal takes? That's flexible. But everyone knows you don't sleep past dawn. That's when you wake up. And therefore, by definition, you're finished sleeping at dawn, and we wake you up. That's a big chiddush of the Rambam. L'chori is the right pshat in the Rambam. He doesn't say in the Rambam. L'chori is the right pshat in the Rambam. That's a big chiddush in the Rambam. I'll point out that this is a big chumrah in modern day society when a lot of us sleep past dawn, or at least during Bein HaZman we do. So what do you do on Sukkot? So I saw in some of the modern day poskim, want to say the non-modern day poskim, the Eishel Avraham, not of the Prima Gunn, the other Eishel Avraham in the back of the Shulchan Aruch, of the Rav Buchach, says that maybe it only counts as waking up if you get out of bed. But if you open your eyes, you're still in bed. That counts as still asleep. Not in the Rambam. Sorry. According to the Rambam, you're just stuck. Nowadays, we'd have to wake you up at dawn, except I saw some of them in the Monday Sarim, the Hilchas Sukkah, suggest the Sefer called Sefer Sukkah, I think. You might have it in the shelf, not I have it at home. He says that it could be that was in the Rambam's days, when dawn was the objective end of your sleep. Nowadays, the world has changed, and we sleep past dawn, and therefore, as long as you're still sleeping when most people sleep nowadays, maybe the Rambam would admit we don't have to wake you up. So he says, Efshar, you should be able that way. We, in any case, don't pass like the Rambam. We pass in like either the Girsa of Yeor or the Girsa of Yeor, but it means the same thing anyway. It just goes without saying that it's until you wake up after dawn. So therefore, if you wake up before dawn, you don't have to move. What if you wake up after dawn, but it's still like 5 in the morning? Lamaisa, the minhag is to be makel, even if you wake up after 5 in the morning, either because of the svara that nowadays our dawn is more like, 6:30 or 7, because that's when most people get up, and not 5 in the morning, or because the Eishel Avraham Buchach in the back says that if you don't get out of bed, that's not called waking up. So if you just open your eyes and look at your watch and go back to sleep, that's not called waking up. It's only if you get out of bed it's called waking up. So therefore, there's room to be makel nowadays. We don't hold like the Rambam. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to like go wake up your kid, your family at dawn, for sure. Even though, if you open your eyes after dawn, it seems like you have to move to the sukkah. Nice, and then it needs to be makel, either because for us, the time you sleep is later than dawn, or because it doesn't count as waking up if you didn't get out of bed.
But this goes back to the stuff you had. When you set your halacha for it, then from now, if Hanukkah coming up, I should...
correctly. This and forget about that. How about Kriya Shema v'Shachar v'Kol Kumecha, right? Does it depend when they got up in those days or when they get up nowadays, right? This is a great question, which obviously we're not equipped to deal with right now, which is whenever Chazal gave a kviyas to like, this is like the normal shear of something. Does that mean it's fixed when they gave it? Or does it mean that you have to reevaluate every society? For example, the whole question of Tichla Regel Manashok. Techla regel when the shuk means when the regel left the shuk in the days of Chazal, or when the regel leaves the shuk nowadays, whenever that may be. Where I live, it's probably 10 p.m. In Manhattan, it's I guess almost a shachar, even though the regel's not out of the shuk, but the night's over. Okay, big machlokas, we're not going to get into that now.
Meaning that it's not something that's up to our standards. If Meaning to explain why Yalos HaShachar, maybe it doesn't depend what we do, it depends what we should do. And if you say that's called Shena during the day, okay, fair enough. I mean, let's say you wake up at 7 o'clock. You don't have this svara that nowadays is different to rely on.
People wake up at 7
you, right. But you just open your eyes and you're not really totally up. And so the Ran says, if you mamish can't get up, then you're for sure a potter mitzvah. You know, but let's say you mamish can't get up. You just plan to go to 7:45. And can you be lying to Ishlav Ram that said, you know, if you didn't really get out of bed, that's not called waking up? I think the minigolum is to be made. Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to point this out. There's a tremendous Chiddush of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach that I put in the brackets here. It's an infamous Chiddush of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. It's based on a day of, I think, is a minority opinion in Achronim. Maybe he thought differently. The question is, if someone's asleep, what's their halachic status? Right? Obviously, if someone's asleep, you can't, like, blame them for everything they do. Obviously, they don't have kavana. That's clear. You know, if someone's asleep, they're not going to say they have kavana. You're not going to say that they're acting, you know, beneath it. The question is fundamentally not what they do. Obviously, what they do is not with total kavana. But what's their halachic status when someone's asleep? Do you say, well, when they're asleep, they're dead? Or if they're not dead, they're at least a shote, right? They are not capable of thinking. And therefore, they've become potter from mitzvot. They're mufka from the Torah. Or do you say, no, when they're asleep, they're just sleeping. They're just doing something called sleeping. It doesn't change their gavra. So does sleeping change your gavra into a gavra putter? Or no, you're the same person you always are, you just happen to be asleep. Clearly you can't do things when you're asleep. But what's your status as a gavra? Like, for example, the famous Binyan Achronim, can you count the sleeping person for a minyan? Lu Yitzuyer, some people say you can only count someone for a minyan if he answers. But Lu Yitzuyer, according to the Shita that we passed in like, that you can count someone who's listening to headphones and doesn't know what's going on towards a minyan. Can you count someone who's asleep for a minyan? So the Prichadosh says, no, because he's now a shote. He's not a gadol anymore. Not chayiv nitzos. Although most achronim say yes. The whole question is someone who's sleeping fundamentally potter or chayiv nitzos. So says Rav Shlomo Zalman. He says someone who's sleeping is fundamentally potter, and therefore, if you want to sleep in the sukkah, there's no room. You can just carefully take someone out, and that's not a problem because they're potter from mitzos anyway. And then you can go sleep in their bed instead. So I don't know what the social implications of this are. You know, I don't know if you meant this Ligamri Lamaisa. But anyway, this is the famous Chiddush Rav Shlomo Zalman. And not only that, better nafkamina, you know, without all these awkward social situations. If someone falls asleep by accident outside the sukkah, he says Rav Shlomo Zalman, you don't have to wake them up. Joe, once they fall asleep, they're potter. So if they're potter from Mitzvah Saseh, so why should you wake them up?
Fall asleep on the drush of the rug in the bed.
Right, well, he has a different kulu for that anyway, because Keshva came to Duru, because you always sleep in the drusha. But no, I'm serious. I think he says it. If not, it's like someone else from the same, from the previous generation. So just give me a second. So Shlomo Zalman says, Taka, when you're sleeping, you're potter. This seems to be definitely against the Rambam here, right? Because the Rambam says you have to wake the guy up in the middle of the night, right? And not against the Rambam, it seems to be against many Rishonim, because a lot of Rishonim say, well, you don't have to wake him up in the middle of the night because mitzvah. But they don't say because he's fundamentally mufka from mitzvos. They just say he's mitzvah. So everyone asks this kasha. Okay, there's a lot of answers, but the answers are very mifulpalim. The pashtus, this gemara, this the Rishonim here imply, at least most of them, not like Rav Shlomo Zalman, because they either say taki, you do have to wake him up, Rambam, minority shita, or you don't have to wake him up because he's mitzvah. But it's not like fundamentally chayv in mitzvos. Just as he has a term in Steyr, he has a term in Steyr. So Pashtus is not like this Rav Shlomo Zalman. It's a very difficult Rav Shlomo Zalman that everyone had problems with. Simple pshat is, a sleeping person is also a Jew who's with Tzuvah and Mitzvos. He's not a Chereshot of a Kata. Sleeping person is just as high in Mitzvos as you and me. He just happens to be sleeping.
According to Rav Shlomo Zalman, when's the Shas Isser of Shinas Kevlar?
Going to sleep, which is funny.
But it's a subject at that point whether it's going to be Shinas Kevlar or not.
Okay, but if you do something, it doesn't matter. Shana Sarai is also Usser. And you can always say Glam Milsama Freya. Anyway, it's a funny sheet. The Pashtus, the sleeping person, is Chayiv. We're just asking when he's Mitzvah or when he's not. Okay, now let's get back to. Did someone else want to say something? Let's get back to the fundamental Sugya. Let's just read one thing. More thing. Mashal Ma'adav Domer, before we get into the details of the Mashal. It's a okay. We remember what the Mishnah says. Mashal ma'adam adomer, and we'll go with maskana. Mi shafach l'mi, who threw the water on who? Tashma d'tani yishavu lo rabo kidal panav yomli efshishim musach. Right. What's the mashal? The mashal is to an eved who's coming to bring water to his master. That's us doing the mitzvah for Hashem. And the master threw the water in his face and says, "I don't want your service." Hashem caused the rain, threw the water in our face, says, "I don't want your mitzvos." And therefore, you know, we shouldn't feel when it rains like, oh, good, like Hashem's giving us a little kula and getting us a good night's sleep in the house, and like it's all okay. No, rather, Hashem's saying that he's giving us a chumrah and saying, I'm not happy with your mitzvos, and, you know, you're wasting your time, so we should feel a little musser and, I guess, do a little chesed and nefesh. Now, here we see something interesting. There's this mashal of, right, the eved throwing the water, why is there this mashal of the eved throwing the water? Meaning, mitzvah patrim and asoka. A lot of people are patrim and asoka because teshu came to diru. We never thought that someone who's patrim and asoka is Hashem's throwing something in their face. You know, sometimes you're chayev, sometimes you're patr. After all, hochei drachim are patrim and asoka. Hashem's not rejecting them. Right? We had the Mitztar Patrim and Asoka and the Biki and the Sirach and the Gargishta, and they didn't seem like there's anything negative, like, you know, Hashem's like rebuking us. All of a sudden, by water is a rebuke from Hashem. So why is water more of a rebuke than Hashem than anything else? So here it is a fascinating question. The Mashal of the Eved and Rabo. Why is it dafka about water? So dafka about rain. So here I think you can take a few different possibilities. One possibility is that it's lav dafka. Even though it's water and water, right? It sounds like it's something dafka. But after all, maybe just like if it rains, Hashem's, the master is throwing water in the servant's face. If there's bugs, the master's throwing bugs in the servant's face. And if it's a bad smell, the master is throwing garbage in the servant's face. And if there's twigs, the master is throwing wood chips in the servant's face. Maybe it's lav dafka. It just happens to be mentioned in this Mishnah. Okay, I wouldn't think that it's lav dafka, because, like, it's a very specific Mishnah. But keep in mind, the only mitzvah in the Mishnah is rain. So it could be not so crazy to say that it is lav dafka. There's a Rashi in Yoma who says that someone who's Roa Keri in Yom Kippur, this Mishnah also applies. That Hashem's throwing water in his face. So, now, it's hard to tell what that's parallel to. That's talking about Yom Kippur. Like, Hashem's not accepting his kindness of the Chamisha Inuyim. Because he's, you know, not letting him kai in one of the Inuyim properly. So, it's hard to tell what the parallel is, but it could be maybe that he would think that any time you try to do a mitzvah, and Hashem gives you something to prevent you from doing the mitzvah, that is the master throwing the water in the face. The only problem is it becomes a little tricky because, what does the Brisa say in Novus Rabbi Nassim and many other places? If someone wants to do a mitzvah and they're an onus and they can't do the mitzvah, then Hashem's mal is if they did it. It's not rejection. Adra, but they get credit. Right? So here it's a little funny. Like, how do you know when I tried to do sukkah and it rained? Hashem's mad at me. Or when I tried my best and it didn't work out, Minashamayim, so therefore Hashem's just as happy with me as if I did the mitzvah. It's a little tricky, so I don't know where to draw the line. So you might somehow say that, you know, Rashi obviously puts Keri and Yom Kippur on one side of the line. Maybe say all of Sukkah's on one side of that line. Right, okay, Sukkah's on one side of that line. You know, for some reason, like Sukkah. Sukkah is more of a rejection, and then you have to figure out exactly why. So let's just ask, why davka rain? One answer might be, although I don't have anything to rush, maybe lav davka, any, you know, ikov mitzvah sukkah is a rejection. Okay, but that is a big chiddush, yes? Great. So you might answer. I don't know if anyone says it's mefurish. Maybe just because it's too obvious. It's a little funny. Like, Sukkah, we're davka asking for rain on Sukkahs. Now, where does it say we're davka asking for rain on Sukkahs, actually? What? It doesn't. We don't say Masha that's machlokes tanaim, right? But clearly, we say tefillas geshem on shmini atzeres, which is part of this chag. And the Gemara says, in the beginning of Tainus, that the arbaminim are the ratzos al hageshem, are coming to pray for rain. After all, the Gemara says, we shake it to the different directions and up and down, right, for the weather conditions, to get good weather conditions. So you could say that only rain is a rejection. Why? Because everything else, we weren't specifically asking for. Like, there was a specific season we're asking for. Like, smells, sometimes there's smells, sometimes there aren't. Sometimes there's bugs, sometimes there aren't. Sometimes there's this and that, and sometimes there isn't. However, rain, we're specifically asking for rain at this time of the year to start later. So, like, if we specifically say we want it later, not now, and Hashem gives it now, that's more of a rejection than if just stomp something bad happens. If stomp something bad happens, then someone wants to do a mitzvah and his nanas again do it. Hashem gives them credit and is very happy with them. But if we specifically, Hashem, can we please have rain starting next week? And he gives us rain this week, then that is, not to mention the fact that, you know, rain is a special simon klala outside of its season, right? Because rain in the summer is very destructive towards the agricultural cycle. And therefore, maybe the rain, maybe davka rain, because we are davka davening for it, not now, but later. And therefore, once we're already davening for rain, and Hashem gives it to us backwards, that's a patch and pot, and that's a slap in the face. As opposed to stop bad and annoying things that happen in the world. What? Annoying things are never going to happen in the world. Like, annoying things happen in the world sometimes. And not to mention, you could also add, I guess, that rain has seasons, unlike other annoying things. Bugs don't have seasons. You know what? What is going to be a miracle? Hashem's going to do a nace and, like, the Beis HaMikdash, that every year, every Jew in the Sukkah is not going to have bugs. You know, you can't do, but rain, taka has a season, right? Which is the same thing, right? And rain, davka, has a season, and it's out of season. And Sukkot is out of season. Therefore, it's more significant than a regular mitzvah. Okay.
We also say, like, where Moshe Soloveitchik says about rain, where he says that rain is not a din mitzvah, it's
not. So hold that thought. We got to build up to it. Okay, of course we can. That's where we go. Yes?
Just to say, it has also doubt in rain, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah said, the Bryce Rosh Hashanah says about Nisach HaMayim.
Nisach HaMayim is also for rain. Excellent. Okay. Now, there's another aspect which doesn't have to be a sphere to two. It could work together with two, which I found in the Shut Binyan Sion, written by the Aruch Lener. I just didn't see in the Aruch Lener here. The Shut Binyan Sion says, look in Tanakh. He actually doesn't say look in Tanakh. He just look in Chazal, who summarized Tanakh. The Kriya Shema. What is the main way that Hashem reveals whether or not he's happy with us? Anyone ever say Kriya Shema? Right? Right? And if not, right? Okay, that's a rain versus not rain, but clearly in Tanakh, rain is the way that Hashem communicates with us more so than everything else. Right? Or Eretz Yisrael, right? Parshas Ekev. Why is Eretz Yisrael better than Eretz Mitzrayim? Loch Eretz Mitzrayim he asher yitzasem misham asher tizrat zarecha v'shkita v'raglecha ki gan hayarak ki ha'eretz asher atav Hashem l'rishta Eretz harim uvkaot l'mtar shamayim tishtemayim Eretz l'mtar shamayim tishtemayim Eretz asher ni Hashem l'kecha b'amir tamin ni Hashem l'kecha Eretz Hashem Hashem l'kecha d'oresh ota tamin ni Hashem l'kecha b'amir yishit ha'shana v'yadach v'chana. This is the land that Hashem's always doing. Hashem's always looking at. Hashem's always communicating with. How? In Egypt, they don't depend on rain for agriculture. So Hashem's not as involved, kiviyachol. In Eretz Yisrael, which depends on rain for agriculture, then Hashem's always being directly involved in a more direct hashgacha. So rain clearly represents hashgacha Hashem in Tanakh, both because it is practically like the source of life and agriculture and water to drink and food to eat, And not up to us, right? Even at Hayom HaZeh, we can't make rain. It's only up to Hashem. And because it comes from the Shemayim, right? Meaning, the whole point of life is that everything comes down from Shamayim Shefa to us in hidden ways. Rain actually comes down from the Shamayim to us. Like, there's nothing hidden about it, right? Rain is a metaphor for Hashem's relationship with the world entirely. So rain clearly has special valence. The Binyan Sion points out that Chazal say about rain that there were certain maftechos that were never given to Bnei Adam, right? All the other keys were given to people, right? The keys of twigs and smells and bugs. Sometimes it's a pain to deal with them, but those keys were all given to people. If you really want, you can get rid of the bugs and you can fix the smells. And, you know, all these things are beyond bus over dumb. They're not always practical in the moment, but they're beyond bus over dumb. Fundamentally, we can handle the bugs. If you really want to exterminate the bugs, you can. It would take effort sometimes, but you can. If you really want to make everything smell nice, you can. If you really wanted to prevent everything else in the world, you can. If there was wind, you could always build strong walls, right? If there was, you could take, rain fundamentally is not Bidei Adam, right? That is fundamentally reserved for Hashem's special hashgacha. So if rain is special in all of Jewish philosophy, then says the Binyan Sion, it makes sense. Why is rain a message? Everything else is not a message for Hashem. Everything else is just life. I know God runs the world. But some things God runs the world and are just part of how he runs the world in all kinds of very complex ways. Some things are more direct, whatever that means. So everything else is just life. You know what happens in life? In life, sometimes there are challenges, sometimes it's smooth sailing. And what happens if you try to do a mitzvah and there's a challenge? That just means that you get credit for trying. But rain is a special communication from Hashem, and therefore you could say, not dafka rain because of the seasonality, but dafka rain because in Hashkofas, HaTorah, rain represents Hashkochas Hashem and Schar Va'omesh. And therefore, a good rain is a good message from Hashem, a bad rain is a bad message from Hashem. So you could say either practical based on the seasons or philosophical reasons why rain is more of a simon than everything else. However, the other option is to say, not give a, here basically we deny the question, right? Not give a practical or philosophical answer to the question, but give a lumdish answer to the question. Maybe there's a lumdish answer to this question, right? Maybe what we say, right? Not LP, you know, just deny the question, or give a practical answer, or give a, let's say, give a philosophical answer to the question, or just give a practical answer to the question, but give a lumdish answer to the question. Maybe there's a fundamental difference between rain and every other mitzvah. What? Who might hint to you that there's a fundamental difference between rain and every other mitzvah? What? Moshe. The Rambam, interestingly, puts them very far apart, right? What does the Rambam say? Says the Rambam, Perek Vav Halacha Beis, Cholim Sham Shem Ptur Min Asuka, etc. Mitzdar Potter Min Asuka, etc. Okay, Cholim Sham Shem Mitzdar Potter Min Asuka. That's an Halacha Beis. Then, much later, in Halacha Yud, you know, that's a big gap, considering that's, you know, halfway, more than halfway through the Perek. The whole Perek is 16, a gap of 8 is very significant. Yardu Gishamim Harizeh Nechnas Tocha Bayis. He doesn't even say Yardu Gisham Pater Min Asuka. Nechnas Tocha Bayis. Me Masai Motu Lefanos, when are you allowed to clear out? Misha Yardu Tocha Asuka, etc. He brings Misha Tisrach HaMikvah, and it seems to be, again, Lekula, even a Mikvah Shel Pul, Tav Shel Pul, seems to be the most delicate, like he says explicitly in Perish Mishnais. So the Rambam separates them. So that might indicate that there's a fundamental difference between Yiridas Geshamim and between Mitzdayer, right? We would think, we should all think at first, Geshamim is a hetimtzi of Mitzdayer. But maybe it's not. The Rambam doesn't put it with Mitzdayer. Maybe Geshamim is fundamentally different than Mitzdayer. Especially, remember, we had a hakir about Mitzdayer, right? Is Mitzdayer a kula, a ptor? Or is Mitzdayer hafka of the sukkah? It could be that. We said maybe there's two kinds of Mitzdayer. Maybe it's not there's two kinds of Mitzdayer. Maybe there's Mitzdayer and there is Geshamim. So maybe al pilandus, you could say Mitzdayer is a Ptur. Mitzdayer is a Ptur. You know what? you have a mitzdayer, you have a ptur. Okay, you know, just because you get a ptur, why does that mean Hashem's angry with you? Atraba. Maybe Hashem's being nice to you and he wants to cut you some slack and let you relax a little. Right? You have a ptur. Okay, so if you're real balmus or a maid, but okay. The mitzdayer is a ptur. However, geshamim, that's not just a ptur. Mitzdayer is a ptur. As a matter of fact, I would go so far as to say that, remember we suggested, if you go to the bathroom, maybe you're still makayim the mitzvah of sukkah. Right? It doesn't ruin your halos yeshiva b'sukkah. Right? Let's say mitzdayer is a ptur, according to what we said. Remember the vote we've been developing the whole time? It's the last time we get to talk that. It's the last year of the second parak. Then it's the mitzvah of sukkah is not just I eat for 5 minutes and I sleep for 8 hours, etc. It's the kviyas dira of a sukkah. So maybe the point is that mitzda'er is not is a ptor, but I still have my kviyas dira basukkah. You know, mitzda'er is a detail. Yeah, I'm still besukkah's teish v'shivas yomim. Sometimes I go to the bathroom, and sometimes I go to minyan, and sometimes I go to work, and you know, but I'm still living in the sukkah. Mitzdar, so Hashem wants to make it a little easier for me, or a little different for me, that's fine, that's not a rebuke. What's the big deal? After all, teishu king taduru. In life, sometimes you're in the sukkah, sometimes you're not. Every time I leave the sukkah, I should feel this tremendous, you know, every time I have to go to the bathroom, I should feel Hashem's patching me because he made me leave the sukkah. You know, so if I have to go to the bathroom a lot that day, then Hashem's mad at me? No, that's the lifestyle. Is that sometimes you're in, sometimes you're out. It gets annoying, you leave. When it stops being annoying, you come back. But maybe you read a geshamim, right? This is, you read a geshamim, no, that's a hafkah. That's a hafkah, the way the Gros says, shame sukkah, or at least, you know, kvias diroso basukkah. Right, who says it's afkashim sukkah, that it's not a sukkah when it's raining? What? Well, the Rashba is quoted. First of all, who quotes the Rashba saying that?
The Gra.
The Gra. First of all, what does the Gra mean by Rashba? What does the Gra mean by Rashba? No. So I saw in one modern day sefer saying he must mean the Shur Rashba, and if it's signed to a Shur Rashba, this is nothing of the sort. And then it says, in Sarach Iyam, so the Rashba is nothing of the sort. If you read, just read Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Sukkah straight with the Gra. He quotes the Rashba every eighth line. What does he mean by the Rashba? Anyone know printing history? Oh, hold on. Who's older than me? When you were a kid, if you opened up a set of Rashba and you got to Masechah Sukkah, what would you find?
The Ritva.
The Ritva, right? I still have an old Rashba, Rashi script, right? 3 volumes in my house. And in the guy who printed the Rashba made a mistake and printed the Ritva on Sukkah in the set of Rashba, and no one printed in the set of Ritva. Right? How do we know this? Besides the fact that, like, it's clear, Rabbi Chanan has a page at the end of the Kovetz Aharos and Yevamos. I bet they don't even print this anymore because you don't need it. But after the Kovetz Aharos and Yevamos, Rabbi Chanan has one page where he says, you should just know for the lomed, here's all the svarim that are printed that aren't really printed in the name of the right person. And he goes through all the ones that when we were kids, it was a big chop, you had to know this. You were gavra if you knew these things. And nowadays, like, they already printed everything the right name. Right, remember when we were kids, right? If you looked at the set of Ramban in Ksubas, you found the Rashba. If you look at the set of Rashba on Sukkah, you found the Ritva. If you look at the set of Ritva on Shabbos, you found the Chiddush Aran. Okay, by now it's irrelevant to the younger generation because now we have new editions and they just tightly picked everything up. Well, kind of, so when the Gros says Rashba, he means Chiddush Ritva on Sukkah. That's clear. How do I know it's clear? Because like, every page, he quotes it a few times, it's always the Chiddush Ritva. Here the problem is, I couldn't find where the Chiddush Ritva on Sukkah said this. The Rashba definitely doesn't say it, but he meant the Chiddush Ritva Pashtus, because that's what he always means in Hilchos Sukkah by the Rashba. I couldn't find the Chiddush Ritva. Obviously it was his understanding of Chiddush Ritva, or it's just a line that's hiding someplace in a different sugya that I missed. But the Gra says it, right? So I'm not sure where the Gra got it from. He says Rashba, by which he means Ritva, and I can't find it in the Ritva, or in the Rashba, just to be on the safe side.
So you don't know which one it is.
So I don't know. Okay, in any case, though, the Gra definitely says it's mafkia the sukkah. It's fundamentally different. The Gra says, Geshamim, why does Geshamim get a special mention in the Mishnah? Not only that, let me point something out. Is it obvious that Mitzdar is Patrim in a sukkah? Is it obvious that Mitzdar is Patrim in a sukkah? So, on Chafayim and Beis, right, the Amar Rav Zav, Rav Zav, the Amar Rav says,
that mitzvah is part of an asukah. It's a chiddush of Rav that mitzvah is part of an asukah. It's not a mefurish Mishnah, apparently. Right? I mean, it's not a mefurish Mishnah that mitzvah is part of an asukah.
What's chol?
What?
What's chol? Why is it part of an asukah?
A chol is not mitzvah. We know chol is different. Chol is in the Mishnah. And still, it's a chiddush that mitzvah. Here,
but what's
stop,
the
stop. I don't know, but let me just point out. I mean, I do know, but I don't want to answer now. The Mishnah says a chol is potter. The Gemara says, Anachavavam and Aleph. Rava says, Mitzvah is potter. They ask him, Rava, cash on you. Whether it's Rava or Rava, okay, whatever the gear says. How can you say Mitzvah is potter? The Mishnah only says chol, implying Mitzvah is chayef. That is an answer, the Mishanship. But clearly, the Gemara thought, they weren't sure if Mitzvah is potter or not. You read this Geshamim. So clearly, at least in the Havamina, they thought you read this Geshamim was not made in Mitzvah. Right?
They might have thought the chol is just a far higher level of mitzvah.
Oh, good levels. Okay, fair. Let me come back to that. That will be b'chol dvarai. Okay, anyway, what I'm saying is that there's mitzvah and chol are two different things, right? Rav Moshe Salvechik says it, but even before him, the Gros said it very clearly. You read his Gesham and Mafkia the Shem Sukkah, and the Rambam says it in his way very clearly. By putting mitzvah in halacha beis, by putting geshamim in halacha yud, by not using any of the same words, he doesn't say mitzvah potter, yiridus geshamim is potter. He says yiridus geshamim is nichnas torah bayis and mutter lefanos, and he doesn't say that about mitzvah. I think it's very, very clear that mitzvah and yiridus geshamim are two different things. In the Yerushalmi, it's not so clear. Because the Yerushalmi says, "Kishem shemafanim dey Yerushalmim, likewise they yitushim dey this." They basically put all of mitzvah on the Mishnah of Geshamim. The Yerushalmi really makes it sound like mitzvah and Geshamim are the same thing. However, in the Bavli, not so pashut. So let's just ask this Chakira: is mitzvah the same thing? Is Geshamim just a chitimz of mitzvah, or is Geshamim different al pi lamdus? Now. Chesky, I'm sorry. Yes.
Wouldn't it be clear? Because mitzvah is a Indian by sukkah. You don't have mitzvah by other mitzvahs. I mean,
and you don't read this to shop by other mitzvahs.
No. So clearly, I mean, it's the only thing that show up is sukkahs. Logically, it makes sense that it's the same thing.
Obviously makes sense. Meaning, at first glance, we think it's the same thing.
Because then, it's someplace else.
Yes. But then if we all of a sudden notice this thing about the mashal. So again, we have three other explanations for the mashal, right? It could be because philosophically rain is special, is a special hashgacha, maybe Alpi Kabbalah rain is different. It could just be because of the season that it's more unnatural than anything else. Or it could be that it's lavdavka and that we'd say the same thing about any tzar, who knows. But we at least have a hint, so let's see. When we have Yeridas Geshamim, is Yeridas Geshamim just an example of mitzta'er, or alpilumdus, no, it's a hafka'as hasukkah, right? It's you read as Geshamim, it makes it, I know I haven't explained why yet, just makes it not a sukkah. Yes?
Can you say a different, maybe middle ground, that is not hafka'ah of the sukkah as much as it is a star, which has unique meaning?
Okay, at a certain point, that's going to be too subtle, though.
Well, the difference would be that you can compare new stars.
Okay, fair enough. Let me come back to that. Okay, there is a middle sheet here also, which is, I think, the sheet of the Sfas Emes, at least in his first shot. Agav, I'll just point out, the Sfas Emes has another technical explanation, his second shot, even though I'm more oriented towards his first shot. He says that it could be... no, sorry, take that back. Okay. Anyway, let me just point out, Agav, that there could be some nafgamina between this is let's go back. Okay, so you read this Geshamim, you could say another example. Maybe it's halachically just mitzvah, but it's different because philosophically Hashem's giving you a bad message. So you could say that it's really just mitzvah. But not more chomer and lumdus, which is what I really like to say. Not more chomer and lumdus. I really like to say that if there's a difference philosophically, that's because of the lumdus. I prefer to say if it's a special, the evidence, the rav is shoving coats on the evidence, that's because of the lumdus. Not because of just sound philosophy. But you could say, and this is what
the Sfas Emes and the Chach Vashlomo says it's really just Mitzayir, but for reason two or three, it's also a philosophical rejection. Right? So you could say it's just Mitzayir. You could say just Mitzayir plus a patch from Hashem, Alpi philosophy. Or you say, no, Alpi Lundus is more than Mitzayir. It's not Mitzayir. It takes away your sukkah when it's raining. When it smells bad, that's a yeshiva sukkah, but it's annoying. When it's raining, it's not a sukkah bichlal. Alpi Lundus, I've crossed the sukkah. And that's why it's like the Mashal Le'Eved. It's not like the Mashal Le'Eved just for purely philosophical reasons. It's like the Mashal Le'Eved for Lundish reasons. Because Alpi Lundus, Hashem is giving me a bigger rejection of Sukkah than when any other tzar happens. Now, what would the Nafkamina here be here? So, for example, the Nafkamina is the question we already asked already. Why is there an objective shear for Yiridus Geshamim and not an objective shear for anything else? It's a valid question. Why is there an objective shear for Yiridus Geshamim and not an objective shear for anything else? Right? You don't have an objective shear for everything else. So what's special about Yiridus Geshamim? So, and you could say that there is nothing special, right? So Nafkamina 1, why is there an objective shear? Why is there an objective shear? So you could say, yes? Exactly, and this is the context in which he says it. Good. So says the Sfas Emes, if you say it was just a Chitimtim Mitzayir, what would you say? And this is really what the Mishnah Berurah sounds like. I didn't bring it here. I keep saying Mishnah Berurah. But the Mishnah Berurah sounds like he says that there is nothing unique here. This is just, Chazal just estimated the shear of Mitzayir. Meaning, why is there an objective shear here? You know why? Very simple. Just practically. When it comes to smells, everyone smells a little different. When it comes to rain, everyone's annoyed the same. Chazal looked in the world and they said, you know what? When it comes to rain, everyone's annoyed pretty much the same. Well, we looked around at human beings and we saw that pretty much all human beings are annoyed by this amount of rain. And therefore, that's the shear. So they were just dumb. Like, why sometimes do I give a shear for something, sometimes not? I don't know. I look around. If it's easy to give a shear, I give a shear. If it's hard to give a shear, I don't. And you know what? Maybe there's also an objective shear for smells. They just didn't bother to write it because maybe there's too many kinds of smells. Who knows? Maybe they... So it could just be there's nothing unique. They were just trying to estimate the din of Mitzayir. Right? There's nothing special. They were just estimating the din of Mitzayir. However, it could be known that there really is something... there is something unique here. Says the Ran, he says, no, this shear is actually a chumrah. You're mitzayir even in less rain than this. This is a chumrah that even though mitzayir is in less rain, you're not allowed to leave the sukkah till you have more rain. Okay, why would there be a special shear? And that's the Sfas Emes' second daya. His second daya is this is a chumrah. You're mitzayir in less rain. However, you're not allowed to leave the sukkah until there's more rain. Okay, why? So the answer might be, I think that you could say there's nothing unique here, or you could say that there is something unique here, right? Maybe says the Sfas Emes, in his second daya, that it's a unique chumrah. No, there is an objective shear, unique chumrah here. Really, mitzayir would be less. We're extra machmir, and we say you have to wait till Tishrei HaMikvah. Why we have a unique chumrah? For some very fundamental reason, or for some very technical reason, according to Sfas Emes' second shot. Yeah, very technical reason. You know why? No, that's the first reason. Because smells, only some people are offended by, and twigs, and sun, but everyone leaves in the rain. And you know what? It's pasnish for all the Jews who leave their sukkah. We should try to be a little extra machmir. So Chazal, we're a little extra machmir. They said, really, mitzayir would be less than that. Everyone judging their mitzayir, but you know what? Everyone would leave the sukkah.
and then no Jews would be in the sukkah. And therefore, it would be a shame to not have Jews in the sukkah. After all, what about preserving the Masorah of the Dor HaMidbar? So maybe it's a unique Chumrah Midrabanan, clearly Midrabanan, because we don't want everyone to leave their sukkah. So if it rains a lot, we let everyone leave their sukkah. But if it just rains regular mitzvah, or extra machmir, we say stay longer than the regular shear of mitzvah. Because, you know, we at least want some people staying in the sukkah. While when it comes to smells, all the people who are not offended by smells will stay in the sukkah. When it comes to twigs, all the people who aren't sensitive will stay in the sukkah. When it comes to bugs, all the people not afraid of bugs will stay in the sukkah. So it's just purely practical.
It's very fair because that shear is so small. Everyone's going to, all the class will leave the sukkah just 30 seconds.
No. What can you do? Meaning, they're balancing. On the one hand, they don't want all Jews to leave the sukkah. On the other hand, they don't want us to get soaked. Okay, so therefore, they say we'll be a little extra machmir. Okay, what can you do?
It's very difficult to say all the Jews. What do you mean there? Even yesterday, I was down south, my wife was up north. She said, before I was in the sun. Or maybe it's because it's Aliyah or regular, so because everybody's in Yerushalayim in one place.
It is a great question. Meaning, you don't have to live in the 21st century to know that it rains in some places and not others, right? That's not rocket science. So what was this Sfas Emes thinking? Did he mean all the Jews in your town? Although even, okay, in towns. Maybe they had smaller towns, and this maybe Sfas Emes lived in a smaller town. I don't know. I don't know how big the town he lived in. The stomach he lived in Gore, but I don't know how big it was. It's a small town, great. Small town. Okay. Yeah, okay, that's a different name. Okay, we did that, so you're ready. Anyway, okay, Rabosai, fine. The Ran takes a different approach. He also says it's a Chumrah. But why does he say it's a Chumrah? He has an interesting Bart. The Ran says it's a Chumrah. Really, Mitzvah is less, right? But the Ran says Mitzvah would be less than that. But why is it a Chumrah? He says only Mutter Lefanos. Why does the Gemara say leaving? Why not just say Mutter to eat in the house and not go in the first place? Says the Ran, a tremendous Kiddush. If it rains a little, you can eat in the house and not go to the sukkah. That's the regular rule of Mitzvah. The Chiddush of the Mishnah is if you're already in the sukkah, there's a Chumra Durabana. He doesn't say Durabana, but obviously. Mm-hmm. That once you're already in the sukkah, you shouldn't leave unless it rains a lot. Why?
That's the kicking.
So it shouldn't appear that you're kicking your sukkah like who kicked their sukkah?
We're going to learn.
Right? Like the Goyim in the beginning of Avodah Zarah. La'asad, they didn't do it yet. La'asad Lavo. When they're having a tournament, sorry, they kick their sukkah. So we shouldn't kick our sukkah in order not to kick the sukkah. Therefore, we stay and we're extra machmir. Chazal tells us to be extra machmir. Don't leave as soon as you get the regular shear of mitzayir. There's an objective shear. Be extra machmir. Don't leave till it gets really bad, which is mishatesar hamechba. Why? So it shouldn't look like we are, disrespecting the mitzvah of sukkah by leaving so quickly. Here, it's not so clear in the Ran. You know, would the Ran say that the same idea applies to every mitzvah? You know, they didn't give an objective shear, but, you should try to, not reject sukkah if you're already in there, or maybe it's only Geshem, because philosophically it's a special message from Hashem, that we're not sure. But I think clearly the Ran is saying that, I think I'm going to mostly put it on this side. No.
Doesn't the Magen of Rum say that?
That what?
That all other, examples of the star, you'd have the shear, with cold, how long would it take for your food to freeze or to become carved?
Okay, great. Then that would be that.
Very well, yeah.
I just didn't bring my Shulchan Aruch here, which we probably got it from the Magen of Rum, right? To talk about Kodesh. Says, the Ran says, it's a unique Chumrah only if you started eating in the Sukkah. Meaning, it's not even something fundamental about rain. In rain, you don't have to wait. The shear is not mishat tishra mikvah. If you're sitting in the house and getting your food from the kitchen and it rains less than tishra mikvah, you're putter. Only if you're already in the middle of the meal, we're more machmir, and the shear is tishra mikvah. Why? Because if you leave in the middle of the meal, it looks like leaving in a huff. And therefore, you don't want to act disrespectfully. Okay. However, it could be that there's a unique shear here because, says the Sfas Emes in his first daya, there's a unique shear here, but his first daya says it's not a chumrah, it's a kula. Says the Sfas Emes in his first opinion, this is a unique shear. This is a unique kula. Meaning, mishatisrach hamikvah is less than you would leave your house, right? Compare when you would leave your house to tisrach hamikvah. You could be, it's exactly the same, they're just estimating. Could be, no, you would leave your house with less than Tisra HaMikvah, but there's a chumra here for one of these two reasons. Or no, sorry, you'd leave your house with, really, it would take more than Tisra HaMikvah to get you to leave your house. Tisra HaMikvah is a kula. Why is there a special kula here that you're allowed to leave with only a little rain, even though it's less than the shear of mitzdayer? So says Vasemis, because not mitin mitzdayer. Okay, maybe he says here. He actually says not mitin mitzdayer. Rather, right, the, let's, it's for reason two or three, it's a philosophical rejection. You know, right, plus maybe mitzdayer, plus maybe not. So it's unique kula. Why? Because the ptur is not mitzta'er, but philosophical rejection. Okay, is it really true that al pi halacha, you can, the philosophy affects halacha? Okay, this depends who you ask. The briskers are not so into it. The briskers will say, well, this affects halacha, but this fasev is l'chassid. And he had no problem with this. I mean, neither did the Meshe Chachma, who was a misnagid.
So it's p'tur mishem philosophy.
Exactly. It's a p'tur mishem message from heaven. Hashem gave you the message, he doesn't want your sukkah or your putter. So even though it's less than mitzvah, I'm not really mitzvah yet. But since Hashem says he doesn't want the mitzvah, so if he doesn't want it, then he doesn't want it. It's a little funny. Like, why would if I'm not in mitzvah yet, how do I know Hashem doesn't want my mitzvah? Maybe he just wants to refresh me a little. But the point is, I guess that's a little bit of a tsar. Even though it's a little tsar, that's below the threshold, Hashem doesn't want my mitzvah, so I have a philosophical rejection. What's the nafgamina of the main nafgamina of the Sfas Emes? This is the big nafgamina of the Sfas Emes. What if I don't, it's not raining, but instead of rain, a water pipe in the apartment above me burst, and it's raining into my sukkah, right? What if it's not rain, it's just a burst water pipe? Would the same din apply or not? So, would the same din apply or not if it's a burst water pipe? Fascinating question. What? So, and interesting, the later Achronim debate, what if it was raining, then it stopped, but my schach is dripping? Is that more like a water pipe or more like rain? Because it really came from Hashem, but now it's not coming from Hashem, now it's just my schach is dripping. My intuition is that's like rain. But what if it's a burst water pipe? So this is a tremendous nafgamina, number two. Number two, this is a great nafgamina. What is the shear if it's a burst pipe? The same exact rain, but from a burst pipe. So if you say that, what's a shear? If you say this is just an estimate of the shear, then it's Misha Tisra HaMikvah. After all, that was just Chazal's estimate of when you're mitzdayer. If you say it's a special chumrah because we don't want everyone to leave, right? Then we should say it is less than Misha Tisra HaMikvah because everyone's not leaving, only you have a burst pipe. So really, in that case, yeah. If you have a burst pipe, you can leave even if it's less than Misha Tisra HaMikvah. According to this Hazemis here, the shear is more. No, adrab means more chumrah, right? More chumrah. And less chumrah. Right, so according to the second answer of the Sfas Emes, yeah, there's unique chumrah here because it applies to everyone. But if it's a burst pipe and it's only you, then you don't have a chumrah, you can leave when there's less rain. Because really, you're mitzvah in less rain. According to the first answer of the Sfas Emes, which seems like better, no, there's a special kula here. When Hashem gives you a little rain, he's rejecting you and telling you to go home. But if it would be a burst pipe, it's not from Hashem, quote unquote, meaning not as directly from Hashem, whatever that means. If the burst pipe, which has no philosophical valence, then use the normal rules of mitzvah according to the normal rules of mitzvah. It is more chomer. You wouldn't leave your house for just Misha Tisrach HaMikvah. You don't leave your house when the chicken is Misha Tisrach, not when the mikvah is Misha Tisrach. Or at least when the mikvah shel shibola shua was Tisrach, not when the mikvah shel grisin is Tisrach. And therefore, you'd be more chomer. So this is a tremendous nafkamina. And l'chora, we have to get to this in a second. But let's just fill in for a second. Says the... the grud doesn't say it explicitly. Maybe here Rav Moshe says it explicitly. Rav Moshe says explicitly. That's why there's an objective shear, does he not? Yeah. So here says the Rav quotes his father. Right? The Rishima, let's call it the Rishima Shear.
Okay, says Rishi Mashirim, right? I don't know if I put it on the Makaros, but he likes this Vart. He says, no, does he say explicitly if it's more Chomer or more Kal? I don't think so. Right. So he says, no, this is a unique shear in Hafka'as Dimra, not in Mitzayr. He says it's a unique shear, in which case, if you said it was a burst pipe, L'chora, burst pipe is a fear deer the same as rain. Meaning for here, it shouldn't make any difference if it's rain or a burst pipe. You should also say, Mishatisra HaMikva, that is the unique shear here in the Hafkas Dira, and that's why they gave it a unique shear. They gave it a unique shear because this isn't a regular rule of Mitzayr. This is a rule of Hafkas Dira. Okay, you can take it different ways exactly whether it's higher or lower. I'm gonna see if we have time for that. Let's just make one or two other nafkaminas. What's another great nafkamina? Another great nafkamina is, what about, which is really where the grud is coming from, right? Is what about first night? What about the first night? So I think clearly if it's Afkas Dira, again, this is, then we should say you don't eat your potter on the first night. Potter on the first night, even if a regular mitzvah is chayav. Even if a regular mitzvah is chayav, you're potter on the first night. Now, which would explain, how, does anyone have a Rishi Mashirim here? Yes, just one of them. Just want to make sure. Oh, look at that. Is this yours?
Yes.
Oh, just want to make sure I'm not misquoting the.
I know it's in Hari Kedem.
You know it's in Hari Kedem, and he says specifically, so maybe it's a little different version. He says specifically about rain?
In Hari Kedem.
Okay, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're right, because I think this is different than the Rishima's version. You're right. This is the Hari Kedem version, and I'll tell you it's different in a second, because I didn't think that's the way he said it in the Rishima's. Now I sorted myself out. Because it has to do with that story.
Yeah.
Right? Remember the story that they woke the Rav up, he woke the Rav up in the middle of the night, and the Rav says, what do you mean? I'm Mitzdar. Why'd you wake me up? I mean, Manashach. If Mitzdar is Chayav, I eat in the rain. If Mitzdar is not Chayav, then why'd you wake me up? And we said there's two kinds of Mitzdar. So in that's the version, I think that's the version it says here, if I recall correctly, that it is two kinds of Mitzdar. If I can, all right, I'm not going to look for it right now. But the Hari Kedem version is that it is 200, it's not 200 Mitzar, it's Geshem versus Mitzar. Geshem is Afka. And therefore, Mitzar is Chayiv on the first night. If there's bugs, you're Chayiv on the first night. If it's freezing cold, you're Chayiv on the first night. If you're asleep, you're Chayiv on the first night. However, if it's raining, then you're Potter on the first night. Even if a regular Mitzar is Chayiv, you're Potter on the first night because it is raining. And this is exactly also what the Chacham Shlomo says, at least in one day, he says, but for a different reason, says the Chacham Shlomo, this is the Hari Kedem, even if it says the Chacham Shlomo, also, you are potter, even if a regular Mitzayr is Chayav, on the first night. Because Hashem's not kicking him and not telling him he doesn't want him to do it. But at least in one day, he says, if it's raining, you're potter on the first night. Because if Hashem's telling you not to do it, then how can you do it? Right? As opposed to if you said it was a regular mitzvah of Mitzayr, then it would be very pasha that you are chayav on the first night if a regular Mitzayr is chayiv. In the Shulchan Aruch, it's a little hard. He never puts together what's a regular Mitzayr and what's the Gesham. Is there a difference or not? But if it's just a Tinsa Mitzayr, Gesham is the same as every Mitzayr. But says the Chacham Shlomo and the Hari Kedem, no, Gesham is different than regular. Regular Mitzayr eats on the first night in the Sukkah. But Gesham doesn't. Why? Either because Gesham has a philosophical rejection of Hashem, or because Al Pi Lomdash, Gesham is not a Sukkah at all. So what's the point eating the first night? And just one other nafkamina is. The nafkamina would be right. Let's take this example. How about not on the first night? So for how about on the kol shiva,
can I be machmir to sit in the sukkah anyway? Or am I a head yot, right? Can I be machmir to sit in the sukkah anyway? Or am I a head yot? Here, very, very clearly says the Chachma Shlomo, if it would just be regular mitzvah, can I be machmir or not? So again, here it's a funny enough meaning. It depends on regular mitzvah is. Here we would say that it's the same as a regular mitzvah. Now the problem is, we don't know if a regular mitzvah can be machmir or not, so we have to figure it out. But the answer is, but maybe yes. Maybe yes, maybe it's extra form to be machmir, and not only is it extra form to be machmir, maybe I can say bracha for machmir. However, says the Chachma Shlomo, who's very big on this philosophical possibility, he says, no, a mitzta'er can be machmir, you know, lifnim mishura sadin. But in the rain, it's osur to be machmir, and you're called a hedyot. And you're called a hedyot. Davka, why? Because every mitzta'er is a p'tur. You don't have to take advantage of the p'tur. But mitzvah is a philosophical rejection. Who are you if God says don't, and I say I'll do it anyway? You know what we call people when Hashem tells them not to do a mitzvah, and they do it anyway? No, mapilim. Right? That's the mapilim. And you know what happened to the mapilim. I'm not going to say it befemale. But it was not pleasant for the mapilim. Right? They got more than bugs. Although it was similar. So therefore, you don't want to be mapilim. According to the Rav, also, l'chora, it should be a davar according to Rav Moshe, according to the Gra. The Gra is right here. And this is the Gra. That's what the Gra says it. He says the first night, you're potter. Give me half a second. But the Chachma Shlomo, and here, by the way, says the Shripin Yin Shlomo, sorry, just fill in some more things there. Says the Bin Yin Shlomo, Chayav, he makes the Chakira, Chayav, according to this side, he said, according to the Gra, you're potter the first night, so it's not a Sukkah. But according to the side, there's just a Hittim Tzim Mitzar, you're Chayav the first night. And here, I think it's very poshut, although I haven't said explicitly, that it should be hedyot if you are machmir, because if it's not a yeshiva at all, then what's the point? Again, this is reminiscent of chakir we had about mitzvah. You tell me, aren't I repeating my chakir about mitzvah, whether it's afkar or p'tor? I am. What I'm saying is not a chakir mitzvah. Maybe mitzvah is afkar, but kashamim is a p'tor, even though mitzvah is afkar. I'll just point out one other nafkamina that I don't understand so well, and then I just want to get to the Sod Hadavar and finish up our halachic part of this perek. Finish up the halachic part of this perek. Morty?
I understand if you have a lumpish reason. How are you mafkir a chiyuv d'oraisa because of your philosophical reasoning?
Ask that to Shlomo Kluger. Not for a long time. Unless you want to say, you know, if you're real brisk about what you say, no, in the Sfasemus, not going to work, but Shlomo Kluger says, it's a simon shemayim, he really means because it's a lumda shavka. That's what he really means. But I know it could just mean that, no, he thinks, you ever read the Rugged Shavra and the Mishnah Chachma? They think you can take philosophy and build halacha out of that. Against halachic mind. Okay, so you're a brisker, and maybe the Shlomo Kluger's not. He's definitely not. He is like, under Galitzianer in the dictionary, they have a picture of Shlomo Kluger. One other nafkamina, but here it's going to be, I'm not sure I understand it, but the Rugged Shavra is very clear in this nafkamina. It says the Rugged Shavra, you know how, like, if it rains and you go inside, you can finish your meal inside? He says, that's not true by mitzvah, only by rain. Rain is a hafkah. In a hafkah, once the mufka from sukkah, you can stay inside till the end of your meal and the end of your nap. Mitzvah is just a p'tur. Once the p'tur ends, it ends. So that's it. Now, you have to figure out exactly the svara. Like, why would that be? But, says the Rugged Shavra.
Well, that's the Mishnah.
What?
That's the Mishnah. What are you saying?
Yeah, so, says, could you...
I'm just saying, he just said exactly what Rabbi just said 2 seconds ago in Chachmas Shlomo. That, like, it's a philosophical thing.
No, he's not philosophical. He's Lundish.
Okay, but he would tell you that that's the basis for the longest camel because of the philosophical difference.
I don't
that's
think so.
Why.
Something that here doesn't really mention it. If the din of finishing meal or sleep in the house only for rain or for all mitzvah. Right? If rain is just a hekatitza mitzvah, then you have to say for all sire. After all, if when it rains you don't have to move your meal in the middle and you don't have to get up in the middle of the night, then likewise, if there were bugs, you don't have to move in the middle of the meal or in the middle of the night. And likewise, there's a bad smell, you don't have to move in the meal or in the middle of the night. You know, and likewise, the neighbor's kids were playing drums. You don't have to move in the middle of the meal or in the middle of the night. However, says the rugged chover, no, it's only for rain. Rain is mafkir your sukkah legamre. Once you're mufkir from sukkah legamre, you can finish what you're doing. However, mitzar, only the minute you're mitzar, you're potter. The minute you're not mitzar, you're chayiv again. It's a big chiddush. What?
But you're still mitzar to move out.
Correct. So apparently he thinks that you're not still mitzar to move out. Right? That's a big chiddush. This is a big chiddush misvara. I'm just going to mention it because he mentions it. He even makes more big chiddushim. We'll leave it at that. Lemaisa, yes?
The rain stopped. You don't think the hafkar isn't finished?
Right. That's why I said it's a big chiddush and I don't fully understand it. Right? Because that's what I would have thought like you. So I'm going to leave that mitzvah to you. Okay, what have we seen here? We've seen here that there's some unique things about rain. A, you have a mushel with rain. Right? What's unique about rain? Let's just review. Proofs that rain is unique. One, there's a mushel about rain. And we said it could be about everything, but pasha is just about rain. Two, there's an objective shear about rain, which could be for all kinds of technical reasons, or could be, right? Because rain is different than mitzvah. And three is the Rambam. The Rambam clearly separates them, right? So now we just have to ask ourselves, why is rain different? And we said, if it is different, right? You could, what do you do with these three rayas? You could deny the proofs. You could say, well, the Rambam just put it for no good reason, or we don't hold like the Rambam easier. I don't want to say the Rambam ordered things for no good reason. You could say the mushel is not unique, or you could say the mushel is not significant, or you could say there's not the objective shear is just happens to be they measure a shear, there's nothing special about it for some technical reasons, or you could say it's unique philosophically, or you could say that it's unique al pi lamdus. Who says it's unique philosophically? That is the Sfas Emes and the Chachma Shlomo. Who says it's unique al pi lamdus? That's the Gra and the Rugachover and the Harei Kedem. And the Rav dances with this a little earlier, but doesn't end up coming to a great conclusion about it in the Rishonim at least. Now, I just want to end with one thing. Why should it be Alpi philosophy? I gave that as very much unique. But, I don't know, I'm just too much of a brisker. I prefer to say, yes, there's something unique, the muscle of its rejection, but not because of philosophy. Because it's a unique hafka of sukkah. But why is it more of hafka than anything else, right? Here's the one question I just want to figure out. One second. Do we have any empty space here? Why is rain more of a hafkar than anything else? Why is rain worse than any other tsar? Right? Why is rain worse than any other tsar? That is a valid question. And I no, that I think is more philosophical. Why is rain more of a hafka than anything else? Anyone want to tell me? Like, why should, what did the Gra have in mind? Right, the Gra clearly said rain takes away your sukkah. Why is rain worse than anything else?
Because if you can't, because there's nothing covering it. It's not a shelter. It's like the pasuk of Metzemes.
So, you want to say, taking the Gra very literally, it's a din in the hefza. Right?
Yeah, but it might be Tali on the Gabra, but it's in the Hefza.
Okay, is it in the Hefza? Why? Because why is a sukkah called a sukkah? Because it's sochech, right? A sukkah has to have schach. Why does sukkah have to have schach? It's not a tnai of sukkah to have schach. It is the sukkah to have schach. Schach is sochech. When it's sunny outside, Is er all schach sochech? Yes, especially if schach has to be tzolsa merube chamsa, right? When it's raining, does the schach prevent, let's say it rains 4 liters, you know, in the shetach of your sukkah. Does the schach keep any of those 4 liters from coming into your sukkah?
No.
No, so it all gets through the schach somehow. Same amount of rain gets through with or without the schach, right? The schach is not sochech, right? What does it say in daf beis? Right? The sukkah. Tia. Le. Yeah, oh, Shia Tia, let's sell Yoma Mihor, Le Maximus Mizera Mimatar. Okay, that's not talking about, that's talking about a divine miraculous sukkah, which will protect you from sun and from rain. The problem is our human sukkahs protect us from sun, but don't protect us from rain. And if it's not Le Maximus Mizera Mimatar, then maybe it's not called a sukkah.
It's not the same amount of rain, so it takes a little bit of rain to actually get through your sukkah.
The difference is insignificant. The difference is insignificant. So you could say it's afka shem schach.
I don't know if shem even means it's not a dira. It's worse than a dira.
Aha, okay. So let's see. You know what? Who's the substitute for Chesky? Because. Just get this board. Then I'll tell you my wild chiddush. Okay. So we have this din of Geshem. We found clues. You could deny the clues. You could explain the clues based on philosophy. You could explain it based on lumdus. But give me a second. Alpi lumdus. Why is rain worse than regular mitzvah? So one answer might be, why is rain worse than regular mitzvah? One answer might be, and this is maybe I'll pee the gra, maybe what the gra means. It's always hard. The gra says no sukkah. It's always hard to tell. Does it mean literally no sukkah? Sometimes you're saying no sukkah, they mean no yeshiva sukkah. Right? Maybe it's a din in the chefza that it loses the shem schach when it's not sochech. And ayin daf beis that a sukkah has to protect you from sun and from rain. So when it's sunny outside, it protects you from sun. It's a sukkah. When it's raining outside, the miraculous, the eschatological sukkah, Lasid Lava will protect you from rain to be a sukkah, but our sukkahs don't protect you from rain and are not a sukkah. So maybe it's a chisaron in the chefta. But Chaim wants to say no, it's a chisaron in the dira, right? So it could be no, it's a din in the dira. It's mafkiya the dira. Regular mitzvah is not mafkiya the dira. Maybe that's the grumment. It's not a sukkah, because it's not a makom dira. But why is rain mafkiya the dira more than anything else? So Chaim was quoting the Shut Bin Yishlomo of Rav Shlomo Kohen, the Dayan of Vilna. Cheshek Shlomo in back of the Gemara. What were you quoting and saying? Okay, no, so maybe you weren't. But so why would it be more of a half-cost dira when it rains than anything else?
Because you can't eat basic food in it. The food inside of it is destroyed. Meaning, by mitzvah, there's like you theoretically could eat something in there, but here, the dentist can't even eat basic food in there. You can't have a dira and you can't basically live in there.
Okay, great. So, the answer is because it's just, and here I will, I'll give a few possibilities, and then I'll say a chiddush. You could give a lot of possibilities here. You're saying, why? Why is it mafkia the dira? So you could say, because, let me make sure I know what Yonatan's trying to say. Because, like, it's not just annoying to eat, but you can't eat because the food is nisrach. Is that what you're saying? Right? So you could say, A, because it's not just annoying, but you can't eat because the food gets ruined. Now here it's a little tricky because only the mikvah shall grease it, which we paskin is the most delicate food gets ruined. But nonetheless, you can say, okay, you could say really all food gets ruined, just some more than others. You could also say, because if you want, I can think of a lot of things. You could also say that, in the Shubin and Shlomo here, his formulation, I admit, is not such a sharp formulation. But he says, "Dibe'es yurg shamaftiras arai lo mikr da'ena roi lader af lafi shah." It's not fitting for living at all. Maybe that's just another formulation of, you know, but let's say the Binyan Shlomo says that you can't even stay there for a little while. Right? Meaning a smell you can handle a little while. And the bugs you can handle a little while. Although, different people have different sheets of the bugs. Yeah. But this, you can't even handle a little. Like, you can't be in the rain for even 2 minutes. Right? I mean, you can't. I mean, it's annoying. Or you could say maybe because it is mitzayer all people. After all, most tsar is only mitzayer some people. So if it's mitzayer some people and not others, then it's a dira, but you have a kula. But if it's mitzayer everyone, then that can't be called dira. Or, if you remember what the Rugged Sharvan Sfas Emes said, but the Toftas Panech, the Sfas Emes is something similar, because it prevents eating and sleeping, right? And that's as opposed to other tsar, which is only a ptur from sleeping, if you hold like that Rabbeinu Peretz, right? As opposed to regular mitzayer, which only prevents sleeping, lefi Rabbeinu Peretz. Remember the Rabbeinu Peretz in the Rush? Sleeping, but not eating, lefi Rabbeinu Peretz. I don't know if the Rush, I don't think the Rush said it was a Rabbeinu Peretz, but I pointed out it's a Rabbeinu Peretz. So you can give lots of lumdish reasons why this is worse. You can know in the Chefts way, it's not called Schach because it's not Sochich. If it lets through what's on top, that's Avkoshim Schach. Or you can say, no, it's Mefkid Adira. Why is it all Tsar Mefkid Adira? Maybe all Tsar it's annoying to eat, but here you can't eat. Or old tsar, you can stay there a little, but here you can't even stay a little. Or old tsar, some people mind and some people don't, but here everyone minds. Or old tsar lets you eat but not sleep, according to Rabbeinu Peretz. But this tsar doesn't let you eat, and if you can't eat, then you're not kavua. I just want to add one possible chiddush. Okay, based on the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say in the Rambam quotes? Yardu b'shamay mei sama mei masai mutter lefanos. What does lefanos mean? Someone translate the word lefanos in Hebrew. To clear something away, right? So, are we talking about leaving the sukkah or clearing things away? So, what does Rashi say on the Mishnah? Chav Chesem Adbeis. Lefanos heimena. Rashi doesn't say. Heimena v'leibrate. To lefanos out of it and go. He doesn't say exactly what he means, but why do you say lefanos? So, if someone wants to say lefanos is just a funny way to say leaving the sukkah, I can't stop you. Yeah, it really means leap, right, or leipanot, or whatever the proper. But says the Ra'an the Me'iri here, says the Ra'an the Me'iri, what does lefanot mean? What pashut shavu lefanot? To clear out. Why are we talking about clearing out? Because if it rains, you have to. Why do you have to take your kalim out when it rains? Because they'll get ruined in the rain. Right? Not to mean first you need them inside, and second, well, they'll get ruined in the rain, right? They'll get ruined, they'll get dirty, they'll... Meaning, if I have, remember my kalim noim and matzoyts noos in the sukkah? What happens when it rains? So I can't leave my kelim on it. Are you kidding? You're going to leave your dining room table in the sukkah when it rains? I'm not talking about a folding table, right? You're going to leave your dining room table in the sukkah when it rains? You're going to leave your dining room chairs in the sukkah when it rains? You're going to leave your nice bedspread in the sukkah when it rains? Of course, you can't do that. That's crazy, right? You have to lefanos. You have to clear out your kelim. So maybe you want to say this tremendous chiddush. If you don't like the chiddush, you don't like the chiddush. I won't take it personally. But maybe you could say a big chiddush. You could say, in every other mitzta'er, you leave, but your kalim stay. And you know what? As long as your kalim stay, what do you still have? You still have kfiyas dira basukkah. How do I know? Because remember, A, kalim noam atzos mos, the first thing in the brisa that makes you kavua basukkah. B, the mishnah daf emches, you need a special heter to take your kalim out. Because at the end of Hoshana Rabbah, because normally you'd have to leave your kalim in. And see, everything we discussed last time. What's the big deal over the money michla and the money mishnah? And if it's mishum miyos, I understand. But if it's not mishum miyos, what's the big deal? Which kalim you put in your sukkah? So the answer is, Well, if Kalim are what's covering your Dira, that's a big deal. If you put Kalim Dira in your Sukkah, you're Dar in the Sukkah. If you put random Kalim that you keep in Machsanim and in Mitpachim and in Mifalim in the Sukkah, then you're not Dar in the Sukkah. The Kalim are very significant, I'm claiming. The Kalim are very significant in your Kfiyas Dira. If so, then it makes sense. Every other Mitzvah you leave but the Kalim say so, you're still Dar B'Sukkah. But in rain, Mutter Lefanos. This is not Mitzvah. This is Mutter Lefanos equals Hafkas Dira. In rain, it's Mamish Mutter Lefanos. Mutter Lefanos means you're Mufka from Dira. Why? Because you can't even keep your Kalim there. Then it's not a Dira. If my chair and table and bed and Kalim are someplace and I go to Mincha Ma'ariv, I'm still living there. But if I, everyone knows, right? If you go to someone's house and you have a key, you open the door and you find all the things in a normal house and no one's there, would you say they're not living at home? No, you would say they went someplace. If you open up the apartment and you find an empty apartment, what would you say? They moved out. They don't live there anymore. So I think that if you want to put this together with Lefanos and the emphasis on Kalim in this very sugya, maybe you could say a big chiddush. That, again, this big chiddush is a bit of a challenge. Maybe nowadays we're not as machbid as we should be on Kalim Narn Matzos Nos. Okay, that's not my fault. That's the Gemara. Maybe the Kalim are not just a hiddur and a kavod and a niceness and an enjoyability. If the Kalim are me'ikr dinkvi as dira basukka, then it makes sense. When it's mortal lefanos, mafkia the dira, and that's why rain is worse than everything else. Everything else Hashem says, I know you're in the sukkah. Just take a recess now. You know, take a little spatzir in the house now. In rain, Hashem says, take everything out of the sukkah, move out, you're evicted. Okay? When you're evicted from the sukkah, that's very different. Not just philosophically different. I'll be long, this is different. Okay, that's the chiddush I want to say in the sukkah. You don't have to say it, because there's a million other ways to explain it. I just think it works nice, especially with Lefanos.
So would it not mean between your chiddush and, let's say, the Binyan Shlomo, for example, would Shelag be a Binyan? Because Shelag, you would take out your Kalim, but people can stay in there for a little while with Shelag. It's not rain, it's falling on you.
Maybe. Could very well be. Could very well be.
And philosophically, is Shelag the same? This is just a side. They don't mean it, obviously. But.
Philosophically, is Shelag the same as rain? Then you have another philosophical question, by the way. What if you live in Winnipeg? Like, really? It's like Hashem's patching you in the face? Like, it always snows on Sukkot. You know, that's the season. So it's an interesting question. I saw in one of the postgames says, only in Eretz Yisrael, it's a Simon Klala. Right. But every place else, that's just a Derech HaOlam. You could have said that in two ways. Either because only in Eretz Yisrael is Asher Hashem Kechadorish Yisrael philosophically. Or you could say, no, just because in other places that's normal and you can't expect Hashem to do a miracle. While in Israel, it's not normal. So, okay. Anyway, we'll leave that for now. What about extreme cold and extreme heat? So according to me, extreme cold and extreme heat is not a hafka. Yeah, absolutely. You keep your kalim there.
But the other one?
But according to Binyan Shlomo, I don't know. You could still extreme heat and cold. You could stay for a little while. It lachor doesn't ruin your food. Is it mitzvah all people? I don't know. According to Sefer Tzfanech, my Sefer Tzfanech actually says any tzar that you can't eat or sleep is the same as rain in his lumbus. It's lavda. He says that explicitly. He actually works out nicely. Why did we put the twigs in here? He says, no, the twigs, you can't even sleep, so it's a hafka like Geshem, as opposed to smell, which you can eat and not sleep, so it's not a hafka. Okay. Yeah, okay. Well, they didn't use that bad.
Just to clarify, I'm already showing that they, like the Rosh say that you, that on the first night of this, you go and you have it, because even while it's raining, so Pashto's stable, that it's just a different style.
Pashto's correct. Pashto is correct. Yes. That's a simple shot. Yes. Okay. You'll see. You can question that when you work it out. Okay. You know what? Do another board, and then you'll figure out what you need, what you don't. Okay. Now I think I'm done for the lucky parts. Mostly, we'll throw in one or two things. Let's spend a few minutes on the Agata before we say a careful goodbye to our parrot, although not such a careful goodbye, because in another month we'll be chazering it. So Agav, yeah, okay. I think the first 2 months of 2 weeks of January maybe will be the Chazara, and then in the middle of January we'll have the first semester Bechina. Sorry, excuse my use of the word semester. About half of the Michlol of this Zmanei, of the different Zmanei. The Gemara then continues, and the Gemara says, Remember, we already read this. It's an Ivaya, who threw the rain at who? So here it's a little funny. First of all, is there a nafkamina who threw the rain at who? And also, like, if you read this Mishnah, would you be Mesopak who threw the rain at who? Right? It is pretty obvious that Hashem's throwing the rain at us. Sorry, it's not the cup. Hashem threw the master threw the cup at the servant. Why? Because Hashem threw the rain at us, because clearly the rain is coming from there up there to down here.
So who's the master and who's the servant? Like us?
Clearly Hashem's the master, we're the servant, right? So, and rain is clearly coming from heavens to earth. So, okay, so we have to ask these questions. Is there a nafkamina? And, like, what's the mushel and what's the havamina? So let us just put that on the board. Let's just put that on the board. Rashi says, first of all, in this havamina, is that the Eved Shafach L'Rabo? In the Maskana is very clear. The Maskana is that the Rav Shafach L'Eved. Very clear. The Rav is Hashem, the Eved is Yisrael, and the Shafach is the Geshem, right? Hashem brought the rain to the Jews, is the Rav Shafach L'Eved. But what is the Shficha in the Havamina? Right, what's the Shficha in the Havamina? So, according to Rashi says, "Mi shavu mi ever the rabba moshel ever shei also the rabba avda she'ena ovdo kahogen." He was doing bad avoda. What's the moshel? The eved throws the water in the master's face. It's not clear if he does it on purpose or out of negligence, but clearly he does something wrong and throws water in the master's face. That's pretty bad if you're an eved. Right, so he says, basically, for Rashi's pshat, the Eved is clearly Yisrael, right? That's obvious. And the Rav is clearly Hashem. That, there's no two ways about that. You're in big trouble if you don't know that. Question is, what's the Shficha? What's the mushel of the Shficha? So according to Rashi says, the mushel of the Shficha is our mitzvos. Right? Our mitzvos. The mushel is, in this Havamina, we bring mitzvos to Hashem, and we're doing mitzvos poorly. We're doing mitzvos poorly. And the meaning is that it means we do mitzvos poorly. Just like the Eved did his service, served poorly, the waiter gave you bad service, we give Hashem bad service. Okay, or is it that Hashem's rejecting us by the rain? And the answer is Hashem's rejecting us by the rain. The Ritva has a the Ritva has a different pshat, right? The Ritva has a different pshat. The Ritva says that, what is the Shficha? What's the Shficha according to the Ritva? Just what's the taich of the mushel according to the Ritva in this Havamina? The Shficha is not the Geshem, and the Shficha is not our mitzvah. What's the Shficha? You're thinking of the Rashva. Unless I'm mixing it up. No. Says the Ritva, he says that it's the Yitzia min HaSukkah is the Shficha. Basically, it's that the mushel is to an Eved, and what's the mushel? Let's just see what the mushel is. Here's meaning the mushel, what's the mushel according to Rashi? Again, I'm not saying one this year. I'm just trying to understand Pashat Pshat in this Havamina bar. The mushel is the Eved serves poorly and spills on the Rav. Right? And then the Rav is angry. Right? And then the Rav is angry. That's for Rashi. For the Ritva, what's the mushel? No, the mushel is that the Rav criticized the Eved's service verbally. The Eved came with the water. And the Rav says, your tuxedo's not clean. Or the Rav says, you didn't fill the cup enough. Or the Rav says, you didn't bring it to me fast enough. And then the Eved says, you're going to criticize my service? Throws the cup. Maybe on his face, maybe on the ground. Right? Throws the cup. And that's what the Ritva says. It's not about the rain. It's about what happens after the rain. when it rains, should you leave the sukkah or should you stay? So the Ritva says, in the Havamina, even if it rains, it's mutter lefanos, but you shouldn't be mefanos so quickly. If it pours, that's one thing. But you should hesitate. You should try to give it a go a little. And he says that the mashal is, the Eves Shafach L'Ravo is, that the Shficha is, that if you leave right away, it's like disrespecting Hashem. And the mashal is that the Rav criticizes the Eved, so the Eved spills on the Rav. Right? Again, I don't know if it's, I don't know if it has to be mamash throw on the Rav. That would be a lot of chutz with the Rav. For the Eved, maybe he just throws it in front of the Rav. I don't remember the lashon of the Ritva. Seems to me, I don't know how much chutz we attribute to this Eved. But either way, you get the basic.
Show faith low.
So he
doesn't have to mean it's on him.
Right, okay, Vesader. Okay. Now, that's the second shot, that the Shficha is the Yetzia min HaSukkah. In which case, there's an Afkamina. If you ask, is there a Nafkamina of the Suffolk? Nafkamina of the Suffolk. For Rashi says, there's no Nafkamina of the Suffolk. For the Ritva, the Nafkamina of the Suffolk is, should you stay or leave? It's Mutter Lefanos, but should you stay or leave? If the Mashal for the Eved, you should stay, because leaving is a chutzpah. It's taking the Rav criticizes, so you criticize him back. But if the mashal is that the Rav is shafach le'eved, then if the Rav is shafach le'eved, the Rav is saying, don't serve me anymore, of course you should leave. Okay, the Rashba has a different shot. According to the Rashba, what is the Shficha? It's not Yitziyah min HaSukkah, it's not doing our mitzvahs. And the Marsha, by the way, says the same thing. He says that the Shficha is the Geshem. We don't rain on Hashem, right? Clearly, the rain comes from heavens to us. Rain doesn't go from us to Hashem. So he says, no, very pashut. The Shvicha is the Geshem. We made it rain. How did we make it rain? Because we made Hashem so angry that we made it rain. After all, it's an interesting thing to think about. And I don't want to get too philosophical here, but on the one hand, we don't do anything. Hashem runs the world, right? Especially the rain. On the other hand, what do you mean Hashem runs the world? Like, Hashem wants to do everything in the best possible way and wants us all to do mitzvahs and to do all good for us. What, quote-unquote, makes Hashem do anything bad? Only our averos. If we didn't do averos, Hashem wouldn't do anything bad. So on one hand, again, chas v'shalom, you don't say we make Hashem do things. But philosophically, since Hashem doesn't have weaknesses and doesn't have emotions and doesn't have needs and only does things based on a reaction to our bechira, Hashem created all the plants and the animals and the malachim. But he didn't give them Bechira, so that's just all according to plan. He created us and gave us Bechira, so it's only our Bechira that changes his reaction. The only thing in the world that changes Hashem's reaction is human Bechira. In which case, quote-unquote, we make him do things. Quote-unquote. Right? So he says, therefore, we brought the rain. The Geshem is, meaning, we made Hashem, quote-unquote, angry. Not that Hashem is really literally angry. We made Hashem so angry, and therefore, it rained. But we're the ones who made the rain. Again, obviously, I don't mean we have the power, but we're the ones with the chira, and we're the ones who made it rain. And what is the mashal? The mashal is, the mashal is that it's a mashal to the Eved who annoys the Rav and makes him, throw the cup and makes, quote unquote, makes the Rav throw the cup at the Eved. I'm not going to use hymns because that would confuse us. So there are three taiches in the Havmina, what the Shvicha is. The Shvicha are mitzvos, and that's what we do to Hashem. The Shvichas are leaving, which we shouldn't do because it's insulting to Hashem. Or the Shvicha is the rain, which we made, quote-unquote, Hashem give to us. Is there an Afkamina according to this? So What's the nafkamina? Is it that we made Hashem make the rain by annoying him, or that he made the rain because he's annoyed? It doesn't necessarily sound like such a nafkamina, and the Maharshah thinks there's no nafkamina, but the Rashi himself thinks there is a nafkamina. What's the nafkamina? He says, the Rashi says, the nafkamina is, why did Hashem make it rain? Did Hashem make it rain because of something we just did to annoy him, or because he's been mad at us for a long time? The mashal is that the Eved right now did something to make the master annoyed. Or no, the master hates him fundamentally for years. That you don't have to say there's an afkamina. He says there's an afkamina is, right, if the Eved, let's just go here, shafach l'rabo, that's a way of saying you should stay. If the Rav, shafach l'Eved, that's the way of saying you should leave. When the Rav says an afkamina, if the Eved shafach l'rabo, that means that we annoyed him just now with atzlus, but mitzvah sukkah. Like right now, we did something to annoy him. But you know what? Let's think about the mashal. Think about the mashal. Is there a difference if right now I annoy you? Think about this. You're my rav. I come to you, and right now I do something annoying, and you throw a cup of water on me. Or I walk in and unprovoked you throw a cup of water on me. In which case are you more angry? When I do something annoying and you throw water on me? Or if I just walk in and you throw water on me? Which case is more angry? Clearly, you just walk in. If I do something annoying and you throw water on me, again, that was a reaction to what I did now. But it doesn't mean you hate me. It just means right now I press your buttons. But if I walk in and you throw water on me, then you really have something against me. Then I'm on my way out. And that's exactly what the...
That's how you understand. Because my version has it, it's that the Eved is doing the Shvicha. The question is he doing, is he really spilling, is he throwing the
that's
water?
That's not, your version of the Rashba or of the Masifta?
Rashba.
What?
My version, that the way they have it, he describes here.
I'm not convinced of this.
Always free to disagree.
What?
You can always
disagree. Okay, Beseder. I know what he's saying. If it's Eved Shofach L'Rabo, what that means is the Eved was goring L'Rabo Lishpoch right now. That's the Eved annoys the Rabo and makes the Rabo throw cup. He's just right now, but says the Rashba, he's just a little annoyed at you right now. One second. Oh, maybe I'm... okay, sorry, I apologize. You were right, and I was wrong. At least for the... I think that's the difference. You're right, the Marsha... I put the Marsha and Rashba together, and I really... And I really should not have. But okay, this is the really the Maharshah. I apologize. Thank you for correcting me. In the Shut Rashba is similar. He also says it's the Geshem, but he just makes the Mushal different. Is that he also says we didn't do mitzvah sukkah diligently, and therefore, thereby, caused Hashem to make it rain. So in that way, he's similar to the Marsha. The only difference is, he says that the mashal is to the Eved, who is not diligent, and spills the coast. The Eved is not diligent and spills the coast, and therefore he says there's a nafkamina. Says the Shut Rashba, what's the nafkamina? He says, if it's Eved Shafach L'Rabo, then we're not diligent. Then it's just a mild rebuke. For lack of diligence in Sukkah. But if it's the Rav Shafach L'Eved, then it's a fundamental rejection and saying that I don't like you at all. Okay, so he does say there's an afkamina. Agav, the Chochma Shlomo also wants to throw in a bit of a nafkamina. Says the Chochma Shlomo, he says that someplace here he says an afkamina in this piece.
Here he says the nafkamina mi bayazu and yachol hatzmer lahachmer al atzmo. Lo, if it's that the eved was shofech, then it's not a fundamental rejection. If it's that the rav was shofech, then it is a fundamental rejection. So he actually wants to say that there's another real halachic nafkamina. He doesn't say exactly which of these pshatim he takes. Although my guess is he'd probably be working off. He doesn't say exactly which of these pshatim he takes. He wants to say that but maybe this would work well with the Shut Rashba, right? He says, you know, is it that we were not diligent or not? So says the Chacham Shlomo. He says there's a real nafkamina. If it's just a mild rebuke, then it's mutter lehachmir al atzmo. But if it's a fundamental rebuke, then no, it's usser lehachmir al atzmo. The nikra hedyot, this works well with the Shut Rashba, meaning if it's a mild rebuke that we didn't do sukkah well, so Hashem says, if you're not helping, working hard, I won't help you, then maybe we should work harder. And we should be more dedicated. We should be more lehachmir al atzmo. But if we say that it's a fundamental rejection, then no, Hashem's saying, get out of my face. When Hashem says, get out of my face, we get out of his face, and it should be usser lehachmir. So that works well for the Shut Rashba. Okay. One last important machlokas I'll mention is the famous machlokas Rishonim, Hashkafa Lamaisa. Is this a bad siman of the Eved only the first night or all sukkahs long? Right? When does this bad siman apply? Right? Only the first night or all sukkahs long? Who holds only the first night? Exactly. The Rambam, Pirsha Mishnah. So when is it a siman klala? And a mashal le'eved v'chuli, right, says the Rambam in the Perush HaMishnah, only on the first night. Who agrees with the Rambam that the Ritva quotes? Rabbeinu Ephraim, right? Who says that it is all seven nights? That is the Ritva in Tainus. Says the Ritva in Tainus, not all seven nights, all 7 days. What's the main raya of the Ritva in Tainus, even though he says how to get out of it? What does it say in the very first Amud of Tainus? That Yeshamim on Sukkos are, what does it say, the very first mission in Tainus, are a Simen Klala. When does it say there's a Simen Klala? It says Geshem on Sukkos is Hoel ve'ena geshamim ela simen klola b'chag, says Rabbi Yeshua. It says, don't say mashva ruach on yontif. It's a simen klola b'chag. Then it says it again. And so it says, the proof is, tainus daf beis, geshamim simen klola b'chag, and therefore, we were not mazgir. How long were we not mazgir? For all 7 days, right? We're not mazgir till Shmini Atzeres. If it was just the first night, then we should be mazgir the first day, right? It's not a Simen Klala anymore. I was saying, don't be mazgir for all 7 days, because so that proves a Simen Klala for 7 days. Okay, if that proves a Simen Klala for 7 days, how does the Rambam get out of it? So, the two easy ways for the Rambam to get out of it, the Mi has three answers, one of which is hard. One answer is just, there's another girsa. The girsa is that it's not a Simen Bracha, not that it's a Simen Klala. It could be it's just not a simen bracha during Sukkos, but it's only simen klala the first night. Ain't no simen bracha all 7 days. In which case, the never said it. Or another answer is, this is a very cheshbeni answer, the Miri says, who's Rabbi Yeshua talking to? He's talking to Rabbi Eliezer. What does Rabbi Eliezer hold? You have to eat 14 meals. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, you have to eat 14 meals as a simen klala all 7 days. Because you have to eat 7 or 14 meals. But according to us, you only have to eat the first night. So it's only simen klala the first night. So he said, no, just say Rabbi Yeshua was talking to Rabbi Eliezer. Lefi Rabbi Eliezer, chayav lechol yodalit sudos. And therefore, it's a simen klala all 7 days. But lefi the chachamim chayav rak the lel tesvav, and therefore it's a simen klala rak the lel tesvav. So we have two ways defending the Rambam and Rabbeinu Ephraim against that Mishnah in
Tainus, okay, the Me'iri gets into it more. We're not going to get into it now. Let's just read the rest of the Gemara here. Says the rest of the Gemara, and we'll have to do it quickly. Once we're talking about Simon Klala, the Gemara talks about all the Simon Klalas. Tana Rabbanan, Bizman Shachama Loka Simon Ra L'Chol Olam. When the sun is, how do you say Loka? Yeah, I just been. When the sun is stricken, right? When the sun is darkened, good. When the sun is darkened, it's a Simon Ra for the whole world. And he gave them a lantern. When he gets angry, he takes away the lantern, and they're dark. Tanya, where he may or calls Machim or is Lokin, whenever the heavenly bodies are darkened, Simon Ralis on Angel Shal. It's a bad simon for the Jewish people. That's a euphemistic way of saying Jews. Doesn't really mean the enemies of the Jews. Mipnei, why the Jews? After all, it's the whole world. Why is the simon only for the Jews? And they should lumad the Mako say him, because they always get punished. Mushal, so far Shabbat be safer or two, but Yadam Doig, Mishrag Lokos, well, Yom Yom Doig. The Rebbe comes to Cheder with a strap. Who worries? Whoever always gets hit, he worries. Whoever doesn't always get hit doesn't worry. And the Jews always get hit more than everyone else. Why would the Jews always get hit more than everyone else? Yeah. So it's a Mefurish Pasuk in Yeshaya. The Marashah says, right, Rakis Chem Yodati, Mikol Meshavos Adama Al Kenef, Kodol Echem Eskol Vonoseichem. Just because the Jews should know better. The Jews he has expectations of. They should be keeping Torah and Mitzvos. They should be doing better. So if you have who do you hit more? It's an interesting question. Does the Rebbe whip more the guy who behaves worst? Or no, maybe he whipped more the star pupil because he could do more if he really works hard. So the Jews know better, so they get whipped more. Tanur Rabban, Zan Shacham Aloka Simrala Ovde Kochavin. When the sun is darkened, it's a bad simon for the Goyim. Levan Aloka Simrala Sonim Shoshrah. When the moon is darkened, it's a simon ra for the Jews. Nesir Shoshrah Mono Levan of Ochavin Lachanik. The Jews count their calendar to the moon, and the Goyim count to the sun. Okay, there's a lot of philosophy why the Jews go with the sun. And the Goyim go with the moon, but we don't have time to go. All right. What? Why the Goyim count to the sun and the Jews count to the moon, I'll just point out that, you know, it might just be the calendar, or it might be something more philosophical. Like, for example, it could be that the sun is an independent source of heat, while the moon merely reflects. Okay, the Goyim live on the philosophy that they are independent, and the Jews live on the philosophy that they're just receiving a shefa from Hashem. Everyone really is. The question is, what do you think you are? Or it could be, because, you know, the sun is stronger, right? But it's only in the day and it sets at night, while the moon is weaker. But it's there in the day and the night and always mischadesh. So perhaps the Goyim are stronger than the Jews, but the Jews last through Olam Haba when the Goyim are destroyed. That is what the Marsha suggests. There's a beautiful Shla, I'll just point out, the beautiful Shla who says, what's the difference between the Goyim and the Jews? Says the sun is doesn't have a pegima, right? It's a full circle. There's nothing missing. The levana has a pegima. It has something missing. So Chazal Darshan from the Tefillah of Shlomo HaMelech that the Jews when we have things from Hashem we're mevarech and we have pegima we're mevarech. So we're mona levana. We serve Hashem with the pegima or without. However, Shlomo HaMelech said you should always answer the goyim. The Jews only sometimes. Why? Because the Goyim aren't Mevarech al the Ra. Right, okay, so there's many, many things. Because you could say here, we're not going to get into it now.
Is the Loka of the Moon a lunar
eclipse? That's the Pashup shot.
So, the classic question that comes up with this.
Okay, give me half a second. Let me just point out another Machlokas. The Archoner says there are three opinions what it means when the sun is Loka. The Tanakama says, the first Brisa says, the Simon Ra for the whole world. Rabbi Meir says, the Simon Ra for the Jews. And this last Brisa says, it's only Simon Ra for the Goyim. However, it's not so Pashut. If you look at Rabbeinu Hananel here, and you look at the Marsha here, they say there may be no Machlokas at all. The first Brisa, according to Rabbeinu Hananel, has the Gersa of the Goyim. That when the Cham is Loka, it's a bad Simon for the Goyim. The second Brisa, according to the Rabbi Meir, according to the Marsha, is only referring to the moon. And the third price is referring to the Goyim. So it could be that there's a machlokas, three opinions of the sun, or it could be that they all agree that it's a bad summer for the Goyim. One second, Chaim. Of course, Sam asked the obvious question, which is, how is an eclipse? This bothered all the Achronim, and apparently the people who are against religion were asking them questions about it. We all know eclipses are predictable based on the calendar. It's just when the earth blocks the sun or the moon, or the moon blocks the earth blocks the sun from the moon from the sun, or the moon blocks the earth from the sun. It's just clockwork. You can predict them for thousands of years, right? It's not just us. The ancient Babylonians could do that too. In the Middle Ages, a lot of people could do that. In the time of the Acharonim, all the astronomers could do it. What's it a bad simon? It's just the workings of Teva. Why is it a bad simon? So here, there are three answers. The most interesting answer is his Rav Yonas and Eibeshitz in the Yaros Dvash says, it's a misinterpretation of the Gemara. It doesn't mean eclipses. It doesn't mean eclipses. The eclipses are predictable parts of nature. How can that be a bad simon? Rather, it means sunspots. You know there are sunspots? Why do sunspots happen? We can't predict. We have no idea. I mean, I'm sure there's mechanisms. We have no idea how to predict them. Or we don't even know anything. So he says, therefore, it means a sunspot, not an eclipse. And therefore, it's a real simon ra.
The passion and nervous advantage is that there's always sunspots. It's just not always so observable.
No, so the answer is significant ones.
They clearly, they come and they go and they get stronger and they...
Right, significant ones.
Communication,
right.
Everything.
So now you have to figure out...
That's it three times a Gemara, though.
Okay.
So that's not when there's sunspots,
right.
It's when you can observe
sunspots. Okay, the other option is the Aruch Lanier. Says the Aruch Lanier, no, it means eclipses. All eclipses are predictable. He says, yeah, Simon Ra doesn't mean, it's going to be a little trickier later in the Gemara, Simon Ra doesn't mean it's a reaction to what we do. Simon Ra just means that when Hashem created the world, there were auspicious times and inauspicious times. And he made the eclipses happen at the time, his gabros haklipos, and inauspicious times. And therefore, simon ra means it's a simon ra built into the world that it's not a reaction to our deeds. It's just an inauspicious time that's a simon ra. There are dangerous times and there are safe times. That's a dangerous time.
Mishnah says, though, that it's a reaction to specific sins as homosexuality.
Later on. Yeah. Right. So that gets a little tricky later on. I don't know if the Aruch Lanier... I don't remember if he carries through, because it works well at the beginning of the Gemara, but it's a little tricky, right, at the end of the Gemara. But maybe for that you need the Maharal. Maharal says, sorry, didn't put on the Makoros, he says that really this just means that there's evil and suffering in the world. These just stand for the fact that when Hashem made the world, he made it with evil and kochos hatoma and suffering. So what's the Simon Ra? The Simon Ra is that... What's going to happen to us at Lavo? Here at Somfanet, Shemalokin, Kael Yosai, Shetamal, Bimas, Halavon, etc. And for sure, the Likoy Chama. He says, if we didn't sin, then Hashem would bring the world to a higher level and there would be no more eclipses. He says, all the whole physics would change, all of astronomy would change. And therefore, he says that maybe you could say it's an eclipse built into the world, just means God built in good to the world and evil to the world, times of happiness and times of suffering. So why does it come because of sins? Because if not for our sins, we would go to Olam, we would move through, we would have a Mashiach, we would have a Olam Haba, and there would be no suffering anymore, and Bila Mavis Lenetzach, and Malik Gimas Halavon Valley Bas Shomniot. So maybe that's what the Aruch Lanier would have to say.
This was me the question I had asked originally. This is not my kasher, it's a kasher that I read elsewhere, but that if the only geometrical place the sun could be in order for there not to be an eclipse would make it that the moon would also not go through cycles. So and would also not be eclipsed. So two questions on that. One question would be different. What happens to all the chagim? What happens to and? But that's okay. Okay, you'll figure that out.
Ah, that's why all the chagim are betalim lost at level. Great.
Yeah, but no,
okay.
Perfect. But okay, that was more of a general question. But the lunar eclipses are simon ra for the Jews, and the solar eclipses are simon ra for the goyim. But the second, there's no more sitting by the goyim, so there'll be no more solar eclipses. There's going to be no lunar eclipses. So even if the goyim are doing their job.
Right. The answer is, I'm not going to answer Kasha in astronomy. Let's assume we can come up with something clever.
Okay.
let's just run through the rest of the Gemara. So basically, two basic shitas. Rav Yonas Ibis says the Yaros Dvash says sunspots, and the Aruch Lanier and the Maharal say it means eclipses. Are they built in? Yes, it's built in that there's evil in the world and there are inauspicious times and auspicious times. And if we didn't sin, maybe there wouldn't be any suffering in the world anymore. Yeah. The Gemara just continues. Bimizrach simorel yoshim mizrach. If the likoy is in the mizrach, it's bad for the people in the east. Bimarav simorel yoshim marav, it's bad for the people in the west. Bemtzarikia simorel kol ha'olam kulo. It's in the middle of the sky, it's for everyone. Dom and ladam cherev ala olam. The sun is blood red. That's an inauspicious sign that there'll be war. The sack, if it's a sack, which either is black, like people are starving, or the marashah says an empty sack, like people don't have food. Chitze ra'ab ala olam. The pains of hunger. Lazuv lazu, if it looks like both. Cherev vichitze ra'ab ala olam. Loka b'kin soso po'et ranashah level. If it's loka at sunset, that means it'll take a while till the bad things happen. Loka b'tziyasa meheres lavo. Loka at sunrise, that means it'll come soon. V'yesho mechilof hadvarim. And some people say the opposite. At sunrise means you have time till it happens. And at sunset means it's going to happen right away like the sun setting. V'ein l'cha kol umu v'ulum shaloka she'enu l'hel loka ima. No nation is punished unless its God is punished with it. Shenemar v'chalei Mitzrayim says Shvatim, right? Hashem punishes the gods of Mitzrayim. There are three opinions what this means. Rashi says it means the angel, the Tsar of that nation. The Sfas Emes suggests it means the actual idols, like God actually breaks their idols, he makes their idols collapse. And the Marsha here suggests, no, it means like they worship the heavenly bodies, and he just makes a likoy on the sun, and that's why it's relevant. He says, now I explain why it's relevant to this Gemara. Which is just the shot of the pasuk, meaning all these things and all this mysticism and all this philosophy and all this everything is all very nice, but you know what? If you just do the mitzvot, you will be okay. You don't have to worry about any of this because then you're beyond astronomy and simonim, like Hashem said to Avram. Then they graze in other people's fields, which is a violation of Baal Tashmis. Okay, you can look in the Achronim, have a little trouble figuring out what the common denominator of these things is. We won't go down it now. This is easier. Why do people's money get, rich people's, that's Balibatim, money get confiscated by the government? The answer is because they use their money wrongly, or they don't use it the right way. Meshai shtaros prus, they keep paid shtaros when they should rip them up to ensure they're not collected a second time. Mabe beribis, they lend with ribis. Valshay yusipi b'yavim limchos lo michu, their money gave them power to object to wrongdoing and to stop people from doing aveiros, and they didn't use their money properly. Valshay poskim stuck a brown vein and osim, they promise to give a lot of stuck in public and they don't give, so if they don't do the right thing with their money, then they lose it. Amarab shul arbitrum nisli balabatum yordan litimyon. And Rashi says timyon just means it disappears. The Ark says different. We'll go with Rashi. Not go to the Malchus, they just lose their money. Al koshe skar sachir, when they refuse to pay their workers. Al oshke skar sachir, and they actually permanently fail to pay their workers. Val shaporkan olme al sevreim nosim achavreim, they take off the burden that they would have to pay and put it on someone else. Val gasas a ruach, and on pride. And the Achronim explain all of these come from pride. Like, what's the have mean? You're a rich guy. Why would you not pay your worker right away, or not pay him at all, or put the burden on someone poor? Shouldn't you pay more because you're rich? And shouldn't you be nice to the poor people? Isn't that obvious? The answer is that's obvious if you don't have gasas haruach. Gas haruach, you think you're more important than everyone else, so you deserve more than everyone else. So, the gas haruach keneged kulam, then it makes sense. Gasas haruach, pride is keneged, haughtiness is keneged kulam, because it's the root of these other things. Aval banavim siv, but about humble people it says, banavim yishu aretz, v'is'an gu al rov shalom, humble people will inherit, the meek shall inherit the earth, I think is the way they say it in America, right? And they will delight with great peace. So ultimately, bottom line, we learn from this whole Agadta two important things. Number one, there's a lot of philosophical shitas about eclipses and astronomy, but if you just keep the Torah, you don't have to worry about any of that. And number two, there's a lot of things which you can get in trouble for, but if you just try to be humble, then you'll probably avoid most or all of them, and you will receive only good. Hadron Allah, Perikah.